The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who delivered the medical school cadavers to the alumni dinner? Every Halloween, the trees are filled with underwear. Every spring, the toilets explode.
You're talking about
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat. With liberty and fraternity for all.
Paul Perillo.
I won't go schizo, will I?
It's a distinct possibility.
And Andy.
You guys up for a toga party?
Toga!
Andy Hart.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
Eric Scalavino.
7 years of college down the drain.
For now, anyway.
Okay, this guy is a real zero, that's true. Just think back when you guys were freshmen, huh? I myself was so obnoxious. The seniors used to beat me up once a week. So this guy is a total loser? Well, let me tell you the story of another loser.
PFW in Progress.
A stupid gesture be done on somebody's part. We're just the guys to do it.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Let's go! Come on!
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. We're all giddy. Because the Patriots are sitting pretty with a first-round bye as a result of a huge 28-0 win over the Miami Dolphins to close out the regular season. And now it's wait and see who the Patriots will face in the divisional round. We know that game will be on January 13th at 4:30 here at Gillette Stadium. So all we're waiting for is to find out who it will be. As for us, we're all here. It's Wednesday at Gillette Stadium. Fred's here. Paul's here. Andy's here. Kevin's here. I think Eric will be by a little bit later.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. And we're here to talk Patriots for the next 2 hours, as we do all the time, all year. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. And I got to say, Paul.
What do you got to say?
I'm just getting a little bit tired.
What are you finding problems
with? Of all the talk about Denver.
Oh, my God.
It's like, first of all, we don't even know who the Patriots are playing in the divisional round, and people are already talking about this matchup in Denver.
Oh, the Patriots in Denver.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood you. I thought you meant talk of Denver being the favorite.
Well, that too.
Because I haven't really, you know.
But no. But
I don't agree with you on that.
No, but all this talk about the Denver Patriots matchup is ridiculous.
Yes, I agree with you. That I am guilty of it as well, but that there's been a lot of that. There's been a lot of Denver Patriots AFC Championship talk already. We haven't even played the wild card games, and they're already in the AFC Championship.
I think it's crazy because, look, I'm still sticking by my – I think it was a midseason pledge that I'm not calling for any Patriots blowouts or any sure wins.
Yeah.
There's been too much evidence this year that you just can't do that and be safe this year. Do I think the Patriots are the front runner? Do I think they're right now the best team? Yes, I do, but not by a lot.
No. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
And it's the same old thing. Last year, because they had recent playoff collapses, like the sky had fallen. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now we went to a Super Bowl, so now we couldn't possibly be upset in the first round at Gillette Stadium.
Right.
Like, people have such short memories that good and bad, the latest is all they remember.
Now, the three teams that the Patriots could face are the Colts, the Ravens, and the Texans. And, again, there's a lot of talk. What would be the best thing? I don't even like that talk, but we'll delve into
it. Well, we're just going to sign off now. We'll talk to you next
week. You know, Fred wants no playoff talk on this edition of PFW in Progress.
We'll delve into that.
This is a bye week. I want bye week talk.
I think it's fair to talk about
each of the teams. So we'll have Eric later.
But there's a lot. What would be the best path for the Patriots? We'll talk about that grudgingly. The one team the Patriots can't play. The one team the Patriots can't play is the Cincinnati Bengals. They're the lowest seed. If they do happen to win, which I think, by the way, they are going to,
They absolutely could.
They go to Denver.
They absolutely could.
No, well, I think they have a very good. I think they have a much better chance than they did even last year when they were playing T.J. Yates.
I don't want to go. I mean, I don't want to spoil the picks for tomorrow. But I've looked at the matchups, and I really think in the AFC, the two road teams are going to win, and the NFC, the two home teams are going to win. I think it's going to be that way.
It's plausible. I mean, the two home teams.
I don't even know who the home team
in the AFC have struggled a little bit on and off for a month now.
Ravens and the Texans.
So I think you could. I don't think the Colts have a shot in Hades. I just
really?
Can't see.
No,
I don't know. I just can't. I don't think they're very good. I just don't think they're very good.
But again, we have to look at the opponents.
No, I know, but I think the opponent is far better, far more talented.
Yeah, I mean,
far
listen,
more capable of winning playoff football.
But the way they're playing right now,
I just
see. I think
we have this little running joke with one of the girls upstairs that next to the Colts, you have to write asterisk cancer because like there's just this thing going on, and that only gets you so far. I mean, sooner or later, you play good teams, you have to actually play football and be a good football team, and I just don't think they are.
And you're right, the way you started it. I'm not eliminating anybody's chances. Because I just think it's been too even of a season. I don't think there's anybody that's established themselves as too good to lose.
Right.
And on both conferences, sure. I think there are teams that are the front runners. And you said the Patriots are one of those. I certainly agree with you. I'm not eliminating Indy's chances to beat Baltimore, but I agree with Andy. Now, if Baltimore does what Houston did last week and throws up all over itself, and throws two interceptions deep in Colts territory, misses a field goal, allows a kick return for a touchdown, allows a 90-yard touchdown pass on 3rd and 23. You do all those things, you can lose to anybody, and that's what the Colts did last week. They got they had all those things happen, and they beat Houston. They beat the bag out of them because Houston basically handed them the game.
Yep.
Now, if Baltimore goes out and does the same thing, Indy's going to win again. Indy will beat Baltimore if Baltimore plays the way Houston did last week.
So let's get into it. As far as the Patriots
grudgingly,
what is your path to the Super Bowl? What?
Well, I think I just gave mine away. If I could play the Colts anytime, anywhere, any place, I'd want to play.
I think the matchups there are just overwhelmingly in the Patriots' favor.
And then obviously you would want the Colts in the first in the divisional round, and then you'd want Denver to lose, I guess,
right.
against their opponent.
Yeah,
right.
You don't want to have to go to Denver.
Right.
I'd take anybody else here.
I mean, ideal road, Cincinnati beats Houston. Then goes to Denver and beats Denver, and then you host the AFC Championship game against Cincinnati. That's
Marvin
the ideal.
Marvin Lewis going to lead a team to the Super Bowl.
I mean, can you get any easier than that? Colts, Indy.
You know what?
I mean, Colts, Cincinnati.
I know it's
can't
crazy,
get easier than that.
They only had to play one game last year.
Even this year, I think the Bengals are capable of pulling a couple upsets.
They are capable. No
and
question.
Listen,
they have all the tools.
And Fred, we'll be talking a lot differently 3 weeks from now if Cincinnati does that and pulls off two upsets and beats Houston and beats Denver will be sitting there saying, well, maybe they finally figured it out. And Marvin Lewis is, it took them a long time, but that's a young team and they got it. You know, and who knows what they can do here in Foxborough. I'll take my chances.
Right.
You know, because, even Houston, I made the comment when we taped the TV show yesterday. Houston is in disarray to me. It's a sinking ship. You know, Matt Schaub looks like a puddle. They just look like a team that's defeated.
A lot of water references there.
You know, Kubiak, I just don't think is getting it done. I think that looks like a very ripe for the picking playoff team.
Could he get fired?
Yeah, I think he could. If they lose Saturday, I think he could get fired.
Why is that?
And I
what
think
happened?
He should get fired.
What happened to the Texans? Because they were the best all-around team in the AFC for most of the season.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answers. I think they got beat up a little bit on defense, and I think they got exposed by the teams that could throw the ball. I mean, Jacksonville, Detroit, New England, Green
now,
Bay.
What happened to Jonathan Joseph?
It was like
the reason they got good, and now he's part of the reason they got bad.
Well, I heard a lot of people talking about Charlie Casserly, specifically was talking about they play a lot of aggressive fronts that rely on man-to-man defense, a lot of man coverage, and Joseph is the only guy they have that's capable of playing man coverage. That's, now I don't know if Charlie Casserly knows if it's puffed or stuff. I don't know if.
Who's wrong more than him?
Right? I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I thought that was an interesting comment when I heard him say that at some point in the last couple of days on NFL Network. They're playing, because they're so thin with their linebackers, they've lost Cushing, they lost Brooks Reed for a while. Barwin has been sort of I think that they've been blitzing a little bit more than Wade Phillips probably wants to. And that's left them with a lot of man coverages. And he says their safeties in corners, both Kareem Jackson is the number two corner and their nickel corner. They're, none of those guys are capable of playing man coverage. The only guy he said that was capable of playing man is Jonathan Joseph. So I don't know if there's any truth to that.
Wade Phillips is a good defensive coordinator, and you would
and
think
they're still
that,
a good defense. I mean, it's just not dominating the way they.
But you would think he'd mix it up, and maybe, you know, I'm sure that that's not all they know how to do.
Fred, they allowed 21 points on Sunday to the Colts.
That's not a lot.
They're just not dominant the way they were the first eight games of the season.
Yeah.
I know this isn't the pregame social, but we got some breaking news off Twitter.
Okay.
Ray Lewis has announced this is his final NFL season, that he's retiring after this season.
And will he play in the playoffs is the question.
Oh, okay, because that wasn't included in the tweets.
I don't know. I mean,
my guess is that he's going to play. I mean, that's what they've been saying.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
also, I believe they are retiring his number.
I think I would if I was the
Raiders. Oh, no, I know, but, I mean, usually it's
not. It usually takes a little while.
Yeah.
He's not even done using it yet.
Right? But the point that I started making about Houston, though, is as bad as everything is, that can work. I mean, they could go out and, you know, win 31-10 on Saturday, and all of a sudden they're like, you know what? We had our little lull, and now we're back.
Well, any team, like,
you know, all it takes is one win to get your
especially
confidence
this
back.
Year. Yeah, I stick by my
at
statement.
At this time of
a
year,
a really
too.
Flawed team's going to win the Super Bowl. All these teams are really flawed. There's not a single one of them I would want to bet my house on or anything at this point. And they all have their warts, but I think that Paul's right. Like, this team, I think, has its warts here at Gillette Stadium. But I think if they get their swagger and they're rolling, they're as good as anybody or better than anybody. I think Houston has that ability. If they're kind of rolling and it's cooking on defense, you know, I think they can beat anybody.
But they really did limp into the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, God, they're staggering. Yeah. That's why I would like to play them.
Your Patriots weren't too far from limping into the playoffs. Everybody feels better because of the shutout of Miami. But that first half against San Francisco, then digging a hole the next week in Jacksonville, Brady coming out and being all pissy. You know, you were close to, you know, John Rook had him on a 3-game losing streak, remember?
Well, that's John Rook. He's very negative.
You know, he is very
there's negative. A lot of bad teams that are kind of limping around. I mean, everybody, the Bears, you know, you need to go 7-1 and then get your coach fired.
You know,
these teams stink.
Green Bay, it looked like they sort of had it back going, and they needed to win a game to get the bye, and they couldn't do it. You know, now they played a bad game.
Seattle didn't limp in. Yeah.
Then they played a crap game to finish the season. I don't know who played. I don't know anything about that game. But I know that they were losing
they
the whole
They peaked somewhere near the end of the season.
Well, I have to certainly, say they're one of the hotter teams
They were
going
certainly
in.
Playing yeah. playing as well as anyone at the
I
end.
I certainly wouldn't want to have to pick them, though.
And Denver was playing well at the end.
Well, Denver, to me, has been, and I've said this, just taking care of business. So they're the most consistently, when you look at Manning, you have some veteran leadership on both sides of the ball with Bailey, Doomerville, you know, the guys that have been there. It's hard to bet against them, especially since they locked up home field. That, then, to me, just puts them over the top as sort
and
the of
the thing
favorite.
That I'm hearing the most, now this might be a little bit Patriot-centric, but the thing I'm hearing most is how many people are saying, well, look at Denver, Peyton Manning, 1-3 at home with the bye. You know, in that divisional round, he's 1-3. I mean, that's everybody, like Andy keeps saying, everybody's got a flaw. Yeah. Everybody's got warts. And Denver's going to have to get over theirs. They don't know how to stop the Patriots' offense.
Yeah.
Their matchup against the Patriots' offense has not been a good one for three games that were all played in the last calendar year. It's not like, you know, three games played over the last 8 years. They've played three times in the last, 13 months.
Right.
So... All right, so that's
and with Tebow as their quarterback, they had a lot of chances to practice their defense. Yeah.
That's on the table. Road to the Super Bowl opponents. Who do you like? Who do you don't like? Who are you afraid of?
Who do you
want to
like?
Meet? And then, of course,
who do you don't like?
Sounds like something my son would say.
And then, of course, you know, we have Black Monday. A lot of head coaches losing their jobs, and a lot of talk now about this guy going here and that guy going there. If you want to talk about that, lots of turmoil in the Jets camp. They've canceled all press conferences.
He, like, has a plane. He's like, you know, there's guys going here and there, just a plain tone. And then he gets, like, a little smirk and a little giddy when he brings up the Jets.
Neither Woody Johnson nor Rex Ryan are having any press conferences, and the New York media is killing them.
Well, I guess it's a rule. Like, they're breaking, like, an official league rule.
You're supposed to have
at the end of the year, you either have to have your coach, your GM, or your owner available. And they haven't done it, I guess?
Not to this point.
So
what does at the end of the year mean?
I don't know.
You know, like if you get knocked out of the playoffs, do you have to have another – when you get knocked out, do you have to have another one?
I believe so.
And most teams want to do it right away to just get it over with and then so they can move on.
Yeah,
right.
I would think that – yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to
you
ask
you guys –
that
tells me? that is a debacle right now. Yeah. Because you don't have anyone who's willing to come out and say, because I don't think anyone knows the plan. Yeah. If there's no message to send,
right,
then you can't trust anyone to send the message. Well, even the owner.
Was on this Monday morning.
Is killing Rex Ryan for, you know, cleverly distancing himself from the problems that he's created. You know, leaving his offensive coordinator, you know, twisting in the wind right now.
Wait, what problems did he create specifically?
Well, he had a whole list of them, but one of them was, you know, Sperano was his guy. Another one was, according to this guy, Mehta, he wanted Tebow. He's the one that wanted Tebow. You know, so
that flies in the face of pretty much everybody else.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's the only part. I agree with the Sperano thing. I think that is a guy that
he wanted a
Rex
guy.
Wanted. I don't agree, and I know that's been really gaining a lot of steam over the last month. Is that it was Rex Ryan?
Right.
Who I don't believe that.
I
that flies
it was
in the face to me of Rex Ryan. It's not. I don't think that's the kind of thing that he would want to do.
Yeah, see, I don't know who in that place. The only person it made sense to me was the owner,
mm-hmm,
because he wanted, you know, the tickets and the publicity, but I can't see even Tannenbaum wanting Tebow. So this is a weird one. But this guy Mehta, he's plugged in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
he's a crapsheet wannabe.
But he's had stories that all his stories, you know, seem to have, you know, panned out.
Like what?
Going back from last year, he was the one that broke all that, you know, locker room turmoil at the end of the year. He was the one that had all those quotes that started all that.
I don't think that's accurate, but that's okay.
Sure it is.
Sure it is. They all, I mean,
McElroy
in New York. That's a perfect example. Greg McElroy said that on a radio station, and now we're giving a guy credit for breaking that story.
This guy,
he's
the one that has all the info.
Yeah,
Mehta.
I don't think that's accurate. But anyway, do you are you guys surprised, or can you recall Black Monday, all the GMs and sort of decision makers involved? I can't really remember a time where it
even
was
an
not
owner,
just coaches.
An owner fired himself, essentially, with Ralph Wilson, turned over the entire organization to that Brandon guy and said he will not have any more input, basically.
And
because it was a complicated proposal.
And there was a story that came out either today or yesterday about him. He says they're now going to use math at the Bills.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. High-end analytics.
Right.
Stupid.
Right.
So you can write them off for at least the next 4 or 5 years, because you know that they got to give it a chance.
Right.
And I don't think StatGeek is the way to go.
Right. Not for football.
Not for anything.
And the other thing about the GMs is there's still coaches and GMs dangling in the breeze. Like Scott Pioli is still dangling
in
the breeze.
They haven't really.
If they're interviewing Andy Reid, I'm sorry, I find it hard to believe Scott. I know they've had a great working relationship from Foxborough to Philly, but I just find it hard to believe Scott Pioli will remain in place with Reid.
And speaking of Andy Reid, don't you think he should take a year or two off? I mean, I really think that this guy
needs to
sit back and reflect on what's happened over the last 15 years, particularly lately.
But they're not wired like you and I, Fred. They're not human beings.
But
they're different.
I think he's escaping. I mean, I'm talking about his personal life with his son and everything.
Maybe.
I think he's using this as an escape. And if I'm an owner, I'm not really willing to have my team be your therapy.
Well, what if it helps you?
Yeah,
I mean, if he's only driven to do one thing.
Yeah, but I'm not sure it does. I mean, look what happened the last 2 years with him in Philly.
It was a debacle for a couple major reasons.
So wait a minute. This year, his son died.
Right.
What is the last year?
The kid's been in and out of jail.
But for 8 years, 10 years, it didn't seem to affect him until now.
Well,
I'm not dismissing.
Didn't affect him until he lost stability at quarterback,
just
like everybody else.
And I'm not dismissing this particular season. When his son died in training camp. I'm not making light of that. But last year they were a debacle and there was nothing any more pressing than was the year before or the year before. They were in jail they were in the playoffs one of them was put in jail, right?
I just think he needs to take some time.
No, you might be right. I just don't think that necessarily the last 2 years.
You know, doesn't
are the
he
same.
Have another son still and a wife? And
first of all, we have no idea if he has any kind of relationship at
so
all.
So should all
kids.
Of them take years off if they have sons and wives? I mean,
well, after you know,
like
so
Andy
long,
said, they're not wired like you and you and I.
And their families are not their families. I can't speak for you, but like
I enjoy spending time with my family.
What did you say last week? I have no son or something. You were ranting and raving.
He goes,
but I mean, seriously, as sad as it may be, I don't know what kind of maybe his son was at Eagles camp to try to build a relationship with
that's
father.
That's what I thought.
That didn't exist.
Right.
you know, Bill joked about it when he brought Steve here. I haven't really seen him in 6 years, so that was part of it. Like, I don't know the relationships these guys have, so
right.
Does he need to take a year off to lament the fact that he never had a relationship? I mean, is there positive in that?
I don't know, to go into
some, like, depression that he can't change?
I would think twice if I was an owner. But anyway, so I guess he's also interviewing for another team besides the Chiefs, right?
Arizona.
Yeah.
A lot of people think Arizona's getting jerked around by Bob Lamont, his agent, and different things that he's not going there.
He doesn't want Arizona?
The original one was that he was going to go to San Diego. Like,
that's
even
the
before
first thing,
everybody was
before
fired.
Before he was even fired.
Yeah. That was the original report, rumor. Right. Peter King said that's where he'll be, San Diego, I expect.
But then I saw yesterday they were saying 95% Arizona.
Yeah, but that might come. I mean, I know Lockenfora and Pro Football Talk got into a big pissing match over the Andy Reid story and who's getting information from where. And I could only see one side of it because I've been blocked by Pro Football Talk, as most of you know.
You know,
God forbid you don't kiss his ass and he blocks you.
And then, you know, I guess it kind of plays into this a little because Gruden hasn't, you know, said no to anything really. He's kind of, and I guess, you know, you would think that Philadelphia might be interested in Gruden. He used to be there as offensive coordinator. So,
but you should never say no.
I don't think you should either. Let's hear the offer.
Even if you say, I'm 99% sure I'm staying in TV, hear it.
Yeah.
Because when the guy comes knocking with, you know, the Saban offer, 10 years, $100 million in full pot.
Right.
You know what? Maybe I'll give it a try.
Yeah. So I would definitely do that. Now, what's the team that said, it might have been Philly that said, we're going to look at hiring a coach first, and then we'll look at GM. And I thought that was a good thing because that's saying right there, we're going to get a high-profile guy that is going to have a lot of control. That's telling you right there and then, the coach we're going after is not going to be any newbie. It's going to be a guy that we're going to give control to. And I forget which team said it.
I thought they were also talking about all the college coaches.
Who?
Philly.
I'm not sure it was Philly that said
that. Oh, okay. Because I thought they were.
One of the teams that is looking for a coach now said we're going to. Maybe it was Cleveland?
Mm-hmm.
They said we're going to get the. Yeah, I think it was Cleveland. We're hiring our coach first, and then we'll look at a GM.
Well, they also already have like 8 decision makers in Cleveland.
Yeah, they seem like they do have a lot of.
Too many
cooks.
Or only one kitchen. Yeah.
It's interesting all the different ways you can do it.
Wasn't Philly the one that was interested in Kelly O'Brien and the Syracuse coach?
Yeah,
his name has really shot up.
Now he's being talked about in Buffalo as well.
Yes, that's perfect for them. he's already in
Syracuse.
New York.
Right.
He's in Syracuse.
And the plane fare for the interview is
well, but he's not going to cost a lot of money. He's a rising guy.
Just so you know, Fred just had that same look that he had on his face when he was making fun of the Jets.
But in all seriousness, and he supposedly has like all these recommendations from Peyton and Parcells and Loomis. I know you don't think much of Loomis's recommendation.
Mickey Loomis, what's he done?
But that's perfect for them. And if you hit, well, now you have your Belichick that could, you know, maybe he's there for the next 10 years.
He's done a pretty good job with Syracuse.
Yes.
And they're not very good. They don't have a ton of talent, and he seems to be. I mean,
that's good for Buffalo.
They play in the Big East, so you know, take that for what
it's like playing in Buffalo.
But you know, I tweeted out while this was all going on. Monday, you know, it is kind of sad. You know, this day, everyone's like
Fred says with a smile.
Oh, enthusiastically, you know, we're always intrigued by all the news. But forget about the head coaches. There are guys that make not a lot of money that are losing their jobs.
Correct.
And have to uproot their family.
That sucks.
And move for very little money, and that's the bad part of it.
Right.
It's not the guys like Andy Reid losing there. He's fine.
Or even the coordinators.
You know,
but there's low-level position coaches.
If Rex Ryan got fired, he gets $6 million.
Right.
So, you know, him coming out and saying, you know, I might be better off being fired if I don't.
But even like.
He gets $6 million if he does.
But even like Tony Sperano or all these guys. But it's low. Like, there's like, you know, Chad O'Shea's and lower-level position.
Even lower than
that. How about guys that are just like took a GA? You know, you take your. You might not get too many of those, and if it doesn't pan out, that could be the end of your coaching career. Whereas, if it does pan out and you're in the right place, you take off, and in 10 years you're a head coach. Right.
Generally, those guys that come in, you know, the quality control guys, their best chance is to do a good job and impress the guy that they're working for.
Right.
So if that situation doesn't remain constant for them, that's hard for them. Like Andy says, you don't want to be a quality control guy for multiple seasons.
Right.
And you know, if you don't sort of, you know, like Josh McDaniels, if he didn't have Bill Belichick to impress and he ends up, you know, let's just say Belichick got fired in 2001, because they had another losing season, which wouldn't have been way out of the realm of possibility.
That stiff Bledsoe never got hurt.
Right. Let's just say if that happens, okay? And he ends up getting fired. Josh McDaniels was basically a quality control guy in the 2001 team. Who knows if he ends up getting a job somewhere else?
Right.
And, he's one of the more high-profile coordinators now, already got a head coaching job and rumored to be involved. We should probably mention that, too.
Yeah. He's supposedly not going anywhere, according to the Boston Globe.
Yeah, to me, two different things there.
Okay, Paul's wagging his finger.
The ESPN.
He's the Kembe Mutombo me.
No. More or less the Boston Globe check.
Which reporter was it?
ESPN reported that McDaniels has said he's not going to interview at this time and that he's staying put. I don't know if that means after the play, if they were to lose, Fred, you talked about, upsets or whatever. If they lose in a week, does that change? Does he then say, okay, well, because I think Josh is doing the right thing. Don't interview now. Just make sure that you're letting everybody know that this is your one and only focus. I think Josh is doing the right thing. I wouldn't close the door on him being a candidate, like Andy said, for Cleveland still.
If they got knocked out, yeah.
Well, even if they don't, if Cleveland decides that's the guy I want, I can wait.
Okay. Yeah,
especially
Right.
And especially if he's just going there to be the head coach, but if they have other decision makers.
His agent would have to give some indication that he's
right,
worth waiting for.
But not publicly.
No, of course not. Of course not.
So I think that the report that ESPN had simply stated that he wasn't going to interview.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere.
I think people have sort of extrapolated from that saying that he's staying.
You're right.
And I don't think that's necessarily the case. It might be the case.
Right.
My gut feels like he's staying.
I think so, too.
I don't know why. All along, I kind of always thought, he's going to stay.
A lot of calls have been going out for Romeo Crennel. Now, he lost his job. A lot of people wondering if he'll be back with the Patriots.
I'd love to see him back. Love to. I'd take him in a heartbeat. And
now, would he be eligible to come back like the way McDaniels did last year?
Yes, they did not close that loophole.
Yeah.
As far as I know, yeah.
So he could come back as a consultant, right? Or whatever they wanted to call him.
They could do exactly what they did with Josh last year.
Yeah. So I don't know if they will.
I don't think they would do that.
No?
Personally.
I don't think they would either. I think they knew that Billy O was leaving.
Oh, yeah, they did. I mean,
and that's why
Patricia was leaving or Weiss was that kind of
I think that's the only reason why they did it with Josh.
I think there's a chance.
That's a good point. You knew that your offensive coordinator was leaving.
Right. I think that would be part of it. Now, I'd like to see him back postseason. And I don't know if it's something that'll be – I heard Tom Curran talk about this. I don't know if it's something that either side will necessarily, pursue immediately. But I think there's a chance if he doesn't get something else that he could be brought back. Just kind of a – no one wants to make him their coordinator. There's no defensive coordinator jobs that are obvious for him. And, he just kind of ends up here as a secondaries coach, assistant head coach / secondary. Kind of like Belichick was for that year or something like that. I don't think there's any bridges burned. I don't think there's any dislike, distaste, disrespect, anything.
Not at all. I think he'd be open, greeted with open arms here, right?
Yeah, but I'm not sure he'll be pursued. I don't know if this makes any sense. It's a slight variation. And again, I heard Karen kind of, I think that, Patricia's here. He's kind of worked his way up. I'm not sure they're ready to sort of squash him by just going after Romeo and bringing him in. But then again, I think if it kind of just happened, and I don't think Patricia's the kind of guy who would bristle at it personally. Now, this is just my total assessment of Matt Patricia, but I could see him, if Romeo comes in as safeties coach / assistant head coach, I think he could have a great working relationship with Romeo, Matt Patricia and Romeo. So we'll see. I'd love to have it back. I think he would make the defense better immediately.
Yeah, I do too. What else do we have out there? You mentioned Bill O'Brien. At first, the earlier report was he was staying put at Penn State, but now...
His name continues to bubble around a little bit. As pop, those three names, Chip Kelly, seems like Chip Kelly's going to the NFL. Seems like Chip Kelly...
And I don't understand the attraction.
I don't either, Fred. I'm with you 100%. Yeah. I think he is going to fail miserably in the National Football League.
Yeah.
I don't get it at all.
I just don't...
Now, why do you say that, Fred?
Well, I don't know what he's done with Oregon. And it's obviously unique to college football even, but I don't see how you look at that and go, that's what I want for my team as an owner. That's what I want for my team.
He built a program, and he plays a very exciting brand of football. at a high level
yeah.
with consistent success. Now, I have my questions about his genius schemes working in the NFL.
Yeah, that's different.
Right. I don't think his offense translates.
Oh, but, how can you say what did he do at Oregon? He took a middling at best program and made it a perennial top five program.
But how he did it, I can't say.
With scheme.
As an owner.
The question is whether or not you think that scheme would work in the NFL.
Right, exactly.
Bill Belichick liked the scheme enough to use it.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But Bill Belichick liked the scheme enough to kind of tweak it with Tom Brady.
Sure. Correct.
I think Chip Kelly wants to come in and says, I can run this damn scheme. It's my scheme. Like, I think he comes in
thinking... Do you think he would do the Spurrier thing and say, I can just take my guys and use my fun and gun and it will work?
Yes,
I do. You
think
he'd be that stubborn?
I do. I just think he's one of those mad scientist geniuses that had his success in college and thinks that's the only way to go. The lack of defense, the idea that he's not, you know... Is he going to just, Romeo Crennel? Is he just going to hire a Romeo Crennel and say...
But they play great defense.
Good luck.
Oregon plays great defense.
No, I know. But I don't think he has any interest in it.
I'm not sure he does either.
And I don't think in the NFL you can succeed
that way.
But
here's the thing. In the NFL...
I mean, look at Rex Ryan.
My fear would be, I think everything he does is based on pure speed.
Well, it is.
And I don't think... I think that there's a huge difference when you don't have that edge.
Right.
And you can do that. I mean, he could, draft that way and say, I'm just drafting Bruce Irvin.
Yeah, but
I'm just drafting every fast player.
But you're just missing his accomplishments.
Yeah. But no, I'm not. But here's the thing.
You basically, what's he done
is what you said.
No, I think that in the NFL, most coaches and coordinators want an offense that you can be versatile off of. But when you have an offense like his that is like sort of out there, it's hard to go ground and pound if you have to.
Right.
It's not in the middle where you can branch off in either direction. It's already in one direction, and it's hard to get to that other side. And I think most coaches, and coordinators are afraid of that. They're afraid. That would be radical. If he did that and it worked, it would be against the odds.
Is it wouldn't be as radical today as it was 5 years ago. I think that you're seeing a lot more teams play a college style now. I watched Washington Sunday night. I mean, that's it's all RG3 did Sunday night was what he did at Baylor.
Read options,
get on the edge, and throw the ball downfield.
I know, but that's
Carolina,
part of it. That's part of it.
Carolina's an opening that I think he could go to, and that makes sense. I still don't know if he's successful.
But that's
though.
Part of it. That's part of what Chip Kelly does. But the other part is that tempo.
But that's easy.
Yeah, that's
it's
easy.
Not easy.
It's totally easy. All you have to do is if you can't do it at the NFL level, you slow it down.
Yeah, but then
that's
you,
all.
Then you lose.
No,
the
you
effect.
Don't.
Yes, you do.
Why?
Because
you think Oregon's only good because they play so fast.
I think that's one of the reasons. I think they wear out defenses.
Yeah, but if you make it sound like that's the only thing is that they trick you every play.
I didn't say they trick you. I said they just
all
wear
you
out.
First of all, I don't understand why you can't run the tempo. I think that the question comes back to the scheme. Can the scheme itself work?
And I think the personnel. Are you going to hand your personnel decisions to Chip Kelly, who's done nothing, as you would say, to earn that, in my opinion? And if you bring in a GM who maybe, is open to Chip Kelly and his schemes and his philosophy
of speed.
You've
got to be all in.
Right, but then, when this guy goes, well, Chip, we really need X, Y, and I know you want this guy because he's speed-based, but we need – well, now you have a butting of heads.
Yeah.
And does Chip Kelly have the final decision, and does he really deserve that final decision?
You have
decision?
To be all in. It's no different if somebody said Tebow was our quarterback. You'd have to be all in and design that offense around him and be all in.
And if anybody thought that they could do that and it would work, they would.
I know.
But they don't think he can throw.
I agree.
That's the difference.
But I'm just saying.
Otherwise, why wouldn't you be all in if you thought he could do it?
Right. And I think.
I think they're all in Washington right now.
But I don't think that that's the Oregon offense.
Fred, I understand that it's different because it's more extreme. And you're right. It's more extreme the way they run the tempo. But it's really. I mean, if you hire a guy and he's a West Coast offense guy, you got to be all in. You got to get receivers that can compete in the West Coast offense.
The West Coast.
I said I know it's more extreme.
Okay.
It's more extreme.
Well, that's my point.
But it's not a deal breaker for me if I think it could work. If I think this guy knows what he's talking about, I'm with Andy. I'm not sure that Chip Kelly's the guy I want to hand the keys to because I don't know him well enough to know with his background and personnel, can he pick the right guys? Or will he be like Spurrier and say, I can win with Danny Werfel?
Plus, I also think there's a question of the tempo-related thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing of he runs essentially two practices back-to-back and just keeps turning. I think that's all well and good for like a first couple weeks. And when you get blown out of the water the first couple weeks because you're moving at this fast tempo and punting or whatever, then I think you have these veterans who go, well, why the hell are we doing this so fast? This isn't work. Now all of a sudden you have, because he has no cachet. I mean, he doesn't have have a national title.
I'm not sure. He's
not
the
even
guy.
Like he comes in with his, you know, I won four straight national titles in college. He's a guy. He's a very successful guy in college, but just a guy.
Now,
there's plenty
said,
of very successful college coaches all the time.
If I'm Chip Kelly, I'm jumping at these opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't care if I fail. I mean, I care if I fail, obviously,
right.
for my legacy. But if I fail, I just go back.
Right. And
I mean,
you know you
cares?
Can do that. That you know you can do.
I think this
as
is
as a
time.
College.
Like
you call me in 3 years yeah. and say Chip Kelly just
Absolutely,
failed. Do you want him
Fred.
As your
like
college
Saban.
Coach?
Right.
I'll take him. Yeah.
Right. You know,
yeah,
a lot of people say, why
Saban
would you want
had
leave?
Background in the NFL.
Yes, that's true.
Chip
no, but
Kelly is a high school slash college slash new age
but
offense
the point
guy.
Is
but they always say,
him,
why would you want to go? Why?
It didn't
he's
hurt
doing
him
so
to
good.
Fail as a head coach in the NFL. It didn't hurt
right.
him one
no,
bit.
And it
you
never
know,
will.
Like
it
Steve
never
Spur-
will.
Like
yeah.
Steve Spurrier.
Right. It
like,
never will.
They
right?
killed him.
Right.
Who cares?
Right.
So he went, he took a shot. It
I mean,
didn't work.
Could
he
anyone fail any more miserably than Bobby Petrino?
Right. And he's still working.
But I mean, the
but
job
go,
he left the NFL for was a good job that paid a lot of money that was going Too-wee! For him. Like, they were pumped.
Right.
Like, Chip Kelly will have a job in 3 years if, or 2 years
sure.
or 1 year if he miserably yeah. fails in the NFL.
I still say I don't understand.
Like, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
I am not sure that he is good enough to do it. But I'm not as concerned about the system as you yeah. are.
Now, maybe he gets
Let's
to the NFL and says, I'm multiple as a coach. I don't have to.
Well,
have
that's
that
what
system.
I'm saying. I don't
yeah.
think he has
but
to
I
play
know.
8,000 miles an
no
hour.
Idea.
I don't think he has
yeah.
to do that.
I have
I'm not
no
sure
idea.
I buy that. Somehow I see him as the water boy guy with the notebook and like he's got like certain ways he does stuff and that's all he's got.
Yeah.
And when that doesn't work, he goes, rut-row. I don't.
Yeah.
I share my reservations that Andy talked about, you know, in terms of, is this the guy really to put the whole program together? Like, can yeah. he give me my players that I want? Is he concerned about defense? He might be the anti-Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan's completely unconcerned with put them together.
Maybe he should be the co-head coach of the Jets.
Put them together and they play this.
You coach the defense, I'll coach the offense, and we'll win in a big city. Our egos will be fine on either side of the ball.
There you go.
Till they fight at the end. They win a Super Bowl and then they're fighting over the trophy on the podium.
Hey, who's getting credit?
And before I get to the calls, I couldn't have been happier to see the Dallas Cowboys get knocked out.
That's another Jets Bills like smile on Fred's face
yeah.
right now.
And Rob Ryan with his unbelievable defense.
Why does it go after Rob Ryan?
Like, why go after Rob Ryan?
Doesn't Jerry Jones
because
the
he,
one you go after?
Oh, ultimately yes.
Okay.
But Rob Ryan with the antics on the sideline acting.
But there's
like
no
a,
greater antics than Jerry Jones thinking I'm a football man.
Oh,
this is my team. I'm the GM.
Oh, I agree.
That is the greatest football antic of all time.
And
getting plastic surgery and looking on the sideline and all that crap.
Before Rob Ryan became defensive coordinator, there I was happy because to see him lose too.
I mean, as much as I say, if I was an owner, I would think I had the right if I bought the team. You need to know. You need to know when to walk away and say, I'd rather win than lose and me be in control.
And he's promising big changes for next year.
Unless the change is him, it's
Jerry
done.
Jones, right?
And he's already said he's not going to ever back down from that.
Right.
And so it's going to be him and his
the only
little
big
Jones
change
boys.
Can make is Tony Romo, right?
I can't believe that he's sticking with Jason Garrett either.
Yeah. Well, Tony Romo, I think he's highly overrated, but you can do a lot worse than Tony Romo.
Oh, God.
You
absolutely.
Can do a lot worse.
Absolutely.
So,
he can't win the big one, but you could not get in big
right.
ones.
Yeah.
Look at all these teams that are firing coaches, have no quarterback.
He's not terrible,
no.
but he just makes mental mistakes.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question that the moment gets to him.
Yeah.
I mean, there's too many big games like the other night that he just doesn't play well when he has to. That last interception was laughable.
Yeah, he's not good. He's not, if you want to, the Brady, the man, that end, he's far from that. But he's also far from Jamarcus Russells and Brady Quinns and guys you just keep rolling out there.
I forget who the other guy was that they compared him to, but they put him, and maybe it was Flacco or Schaub or one of those guys, but they said he's the best of the non-elite quarterbacks or something like that,
You know what he's like? Brett Favre in his later years a little bit.
Well, he's got a lot of similarities
to
Favre.
He's
the Favre-ian. Way he plays.
Yeah. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Phones are starting to stack up here down in the Subway Fresh broadcast studios. So let's get to
smooth
the
as
one.
Silk.
Jeff in Vegas.
Smooth as
hey,
sandpaper.
Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, a couple things. I think New England is becoming America's team, and here's a good indication of that. For the game against Miami, I was at the sports book, of course. The entire sports book took New England, and once the Colts upset the Texans, New England, the line moved. The Patriots were favored by more and more points. The entire country now is watching and rooting for New England. They're the most reliable team out there. And after seeing Tony Romo's disaster, the other night, it's even more so now.
But are you saying they're rooting for them from a betting standpoint, you're talking about, right?
Well, it's just they're the most relevant team right now. I mean,
because you said reliable before. You said most reliable team.
That's how you become. In this day and age, Fred, I think that's how you become America's team, is being the most relevant team, the most dependable team in a big part of the NFL, although not that it means anything here, is, Dallas is a joke. They've won one playoff game in, almost 15 years. Right now, the Patriots are the team.
But Dallas became America's team because they were good. And there's a lot of football fans in Texas in the area, and they had the cheerleaders. They were first cheerleading squad. They became America's team because they were organizationally, they had it together. That's how they became America's team.
And you don't think the torch has been passed to the New England Patriots?
Well, I think that, there's a thing called right place, right time. And I think that, the NFL was in a period at that point where a team could get that mantle. I think the NFL is so big. People kind of are committed to their teams now. I think it's harder to take that away from them at this point in time.
But all the kids, they're newly minted every year that New England competes. And look at the Giants. They don't even make the playoffs after winning the Super Bowl.
Yep.
New England is there year in and year out. Brady should make it to his sixth Super Bowl. You have all these young, impressionable kids, age 5 to 15, who are being newly minted New England fans.
Yeah.
Newly minted New England Patriots fans for life. Plus, international. Look at all these people in Europe.
I mean, it's a good discussion, but I'll tell you another thing that works against the Patriots. It's the coach. And I love Bill Belichick, and he's a great coach. And wait a minute. Let me finish. And I think people across the country argue that he's a great coach. But how he conducts the team really takes away from that individual. And I think when you're a young kid, you like the superstar. You like the flash. When my kid was little, he liked Terrell Davis from the Broncos. I don't know why, but he did. And I know when the Patriots drafted Lawrence Maroney, there were a lot of young kids that really liked Lawrence Maroney because of the flash, and he never panned out. And I think the kids don't understand that whole team concept. They're looking to attach to superstars. And I think the way that, believe it or not, that whole team first thing with the Patriots works against the young kids that are looking for the superstar.
But now, he's bigger than Brady and Belichick. It works in his favor. He's like the evil genius. It's almost, you see Belichick.
Yeah, but young kids don't appreciate that. They don't.
But they got Brady, Fred.
But he's getting older.
Who cares?
What was the highest jersey being sold this year, Jeff? You know the answer. By far.
What was it? I have
RG3. By far. RG3 by far.
But when RG3 gets eliminated, he's not going to win it all this year.
I know,
he's going to do all the commercials.
Brady was three.
The kids love the young flash.
So you're back to Fred. You win.
Right.
That's all it is.
But
Brady was three.
His jersey was selling before the Redskins made the playoffs, before even it looked like they would. The kids just love the young flash.
But Brady was three.
I know, but that's because he's been good for a long time. But I'm telling you.
But I would argue that RG3 is brand new. So if you're popular and good, you're going to sell a lot of jerseys because you're new.
Well, that's true.
Manning was number two, I believe, because he's in a new city, so you've got to buy a new jersey.
Yeah, he has the ability for the
Brady has been in the same place forever where 90% of Patriots fans already have his jersey, and yet he's still third in the NFL. And jersey sales are irrelevant on some level. Adrian Peterson, I just saw a thing, was 25th this year.
Is that right?
Do you know he doesn't even have, a sneaker deal? The guy is, arguably the most dominant player in the National Football League, and he's like a nobody.
Okay, when's the last time Minnesota changed their jersey somewhat? Because that affects sales. It does.
But he just doesn't have any flash. He's flashless.
Peterson?
Yeah. I don't think he has any flash.
Really?
There's nothing there. What's the flash?
Well, he's a great runner.
He's great.
Yeah.
No, but there's a lot of people that are great. What's his name? The guy in San Antonio. Great. Nothing. Nothing there.
Tim Duncan. I don't think AP.
Nothing.
I don't think Adrian AP. Peterson is like.
I think he's pretty flashless.
Really?
I just don't see a lot. He's a humble, hardworking, Leslie Frazier, I saw his comments. He's everything we want in a football player. I agree with that, except it doesn't sell.
Yeah.
Now, part of it is Minnesota. You're stuck up there where your team hasn't been good, and you're not a media market. You know, but I think the other part of it is there's not a lot there.
Yeah, but as far as the Patriots taking away that whole America's team, it's harder to do now than, you know, the team that first got it back in the 70s.
Yeah, those ridiculous numbers you always see, like globally. I don't even know if it's America. It's like international.
Yeah, I don't even. The
Raiders had the highest selling hat in the country this year.
Right.
That certainly wasn't to do with what they're doing. Yeah. Had nothing to do. And there's no flash there either. That's just like tradition and colors and coolness or whatever.
Right.
Dallas, like you said, like in the 70s, was, you know, they dubbed themselves America's team. I mean, we could go on a campaign and do that too. And
right,
we tried; it didn't work.
I
we tried Trophy Town.
I don't buy it.
Who cares? Go for the Earth.
Why don't you just try to win
the Earth?
That's what I was going to say. You know what's indisputable? Victories, yeah. Championships,
win titles,
right. Super Bowls.
No, and I'm all for that.
And that's I agree with you. Belichick should focus on that too, because his personality and all that is never going to carry him.
Right.
What's going to carry him is just the facts.
Right.
Stick to the facts. I dominated. I kicked ass. You don't have to like me, but you have to respect
me. That's right.
Any questions?
That's right.
Right. Any questions about the Ravens?
Right.
If not, I'm out of here.
I mean, there's no question he's a Hall of Fame head coach. There's no doubt about it.
Except for Vito.
Even Vito says there's no question.
Yeah.
He's going to get in, so what's the point?
But there's a fine line, but not a fine line. I think there is a bridge between being that successful, you know, humming like a well-oiled machine type of organization and being that team that, like, is cool, mm-hmm. You know? It's not always the same thing.
I agree.
And I get frustrated by it.
Seemingly rarely.
I see all the success we have, and, you know, I look at the Cowboys' ratings and, you know, all their website and all, and they are by far the most successful in everything, no matter what they do.
And you think that's because of nationwide as opposed to just Texas?
Oh, absolutely.
You would know more than I
would. I think it's beyond the nation. I think it's international.
Oh, absolutely.
I am not doubting you for a second. Yeah. You know that stuff far better than I
do. No matter what they do, it succeeds because they have so many fans. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if there's a kid in Nebraska who thinks the Patriots are great or not. I'm like, I know that you know, when you're part of the organization, you want as many fans as you can get and many people and all that stuff. But, you know, to Jeff's point, we're America's team now. So what? I just want to win the Super Bowl. I don't care if they like or hate us in Iowa.
And everybody likes a winner. The more you win, you're going to have more fans.
And everybody hates
the Fred Kirsches of the world,
right,
who changed teams five times
ways.
As a
like,
kid,
like
are going to latch on to a winner.
When I first started watching the NFL, I absolutely loved Dallas for about a year or two. Then I couldn't stand them because they were on TV every week.
Didn't
and they
like
won every game, and I just didn't like them anymore because they won all the time. Like, you knew that Staubach was going to win the game at the end, and
right. It
just became old hat. And it turned because they were there all the time. I wanted just somebody else other than Pittsburgh and Dallas.
Well, I remember.
I hated Pittsburgh and Dallas.
As a young kid, Dallas played the Colts in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I was dead set. I wanted Dallas. Why? They were just cooler. You know, they had cooler players. And the Colts were like, you know, black shoes and boring uniforms. You know, and I was just a kid.
But they're also winning.
Well, yeah.
They were cool in.
Well, that's why I had the backlash against them, because they won so much. Same thing happened with San Francisco. Joe Montana first got there. They were terrible, and then they went 13-3. They were great. They won the Super Bowl, and I was like, this is great. And then I was like, oh, they win every year. And then I started hating them.
Right.
Yeah, but that's as
San Francisco,
a fan from afar.
Well, that's what we're talking about, America's team, not when you have a vested interest in your team.
No, but did you buy 49ers stuff? I mean, were you getting hats and stuff? Or
no, but that wasn't really
right.
Like a huge part.
Today, there
of
are plenty
childhood.
Of people. It's so global
but I
and,
would
and
have.
National that
yeah.
Today you can be a fan of the Patriots in Vegas or, you know,
but,
the Patriots
but Andy,
in
if
LA.
I had the ability to get on the web, then I would have bought Dallas stuff and I would have bought Niners stuff. I would have had a Joe Montana jersey in like
so you were the Fred,
1981.
You were Fred too.
No, because
you guys were bouncing around with teams.
Oh, no, the Patriots.
I picked two teams, the Patriots, right. And they weren't on TV, so I took Bo and the Raiders.
No, the Patriots were my team. They were always, I mean, I would never, ever root for anybody over the Patriots as a kid. But I'm talking about, you know, when you get time for the playoffs and you figure out who's going to win, it was always Pittsburgh and Dallas. And the first, you know, I would always root for Dallas because Pittsburgh always beat them. You know, I wanted someone else to win. But then after a while, I just wanted somebody else other than those teams to get there. because you were just so sick of them winning all the time. You wanted to see another team. You know, the year that Denver made it and Dallas just killed them. I rooted for Denver in that game. Just I wanted to see somebody else win, not because I liked it. I mean, not, no disrespect for Randy Gradishar, Fred.
Very sad day.
Kyle Mecklenburg.
Right. All right. Let's move on with the phone calls. Tyrone's in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, we're back at it again. We're in the playoffs. That's always a good thing. You know, I'm just looking forward. Like, I agree with Andy. You know, for the last 2 years, you know, there's a lot of bad NFL teams. So if this the year, we got to get it done. Giants not playing, so we got to get it done. You know what I'm saying?
We got rid of the kryptonite. They can't take us down.
That's I was laughing when Jeff goes, you know, look at the Giants. They didn't even make the playoffs. And I was thinking to myself, you know, yeah, would you want to play them in a playoff game tomorrow? Because
a play-in game?
No. And they, to me, they're the luckiest team. Once their luck run out, they're done. So that's a good thing. Anyhow, you see people missing the point. I noticed on PFW, when you guys talking, I forgot the name of it. Axe PFW or whatever. And people was looking at who the
It's not hard, not, Tyrone. It's just ask PFW at Patriots.com.
Yeah, something like
come
that.
On.
Something like that. Sorry. Then there was looking, a lot of fans was looking through Denver record. A lot of us Patriots fans were looking through Denver record.
Jeez, I just posted that. Because,
wow. Every, yeah, you just did. And I
wow.
Just and everybody looking through Denver's, who they played. And because a lot of people say, well, Denver is the number one seed. So, you know, everybody was going on that bandwagon. And I guess a lot of Patriots fans getting upset. And you see, here we go again. We got to be objective here. Because we could have do that. The other teams could have do the same thing with us last year because we didn't beat a team with a winning record all season, but we made it to the Super Bowl. So people need to understand that Denver is the real deal, and I'm scared of Denver.
Okay.
And
all right.
They're the real deal.
I don't think anyone said that. Well, there are a lot of people that say they haven't beat anyone.
I agree with Tyrone, except for the scared part.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of anybody.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of them either. You know,
but they are a good
sure.
football team.
And they're playing in Denver. Thanks for the call, Tyrone.
Yeah, that email that he was referencing, someone was like, you know, their 11-game winning streak, they didn't beat anybody. They beat one team with a winning record. In the same 11 games, the Patriots beat two teams with a winning record.
Yeah.
They beat Indy in Houston. So he's right. Like, you can look at anybody and say, like, Andy's whole premise of the entire NFL, you find the warts wherever you look.
It's hard to put together an impressive list of victories when the whole league blows.
Right. There's not that many impressive teams to have the opportunity to beat, and the chances that you got to play them all
right.
and beat them all is
right.
so slim.
And I'd also look at if Indy's schedule had been different, if they hadn't gotten their tough games early in the year, I think they'd be different.
Denver, you mean?
I mean Denver, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have problems with that, you know, Andy, Denver, Manning.
Yeah. Think about it. I mean, they played at home. They played Houston early in the year. You think if they played Houston last week, they would have lost
right.
at Denver?
Right.
The way that Houston's playing right now?
Right.
And Atlanta?
That's why you need to judge the record.
Is he going to throw
three
picks
after
in
the season.
10 seconds?
Earlier, Paul said he doesn't care if a kid in Nebraska is wearing a Patriots jersey. Brian in Nebraska says, F you, Paul.
Sorry, Brian. That was more like Anytown, USA. Not
I know one.
Not Brian's town. Sorry.
I know one kid from Nebraska who wears a Patriots jersey. It's Danny Woodhead.
That's true.
There you go.
That's true.
Probably the entire Woodhead family.
Also,
North Platte.
Mike writes in, to Paul's point, just as you got sick of Dallas winning, do you think people are sick of the Patriots winning?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it.
I do.
Well, a little less. But I think they were really sick of them back in, you know, 04, 05, and then a perfect season. But I think the Giants kind of took a couple pot shots at the always winning.
Oh, yeah.
But I always think that I also think that there's a lot of kids that look at it and they gravitate toward a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, there's probably a lot of people that are sick of the Patriots being there all the time, and there's a lot of young guys that, you know, young kids that say, I like the Patriots because they're there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's probably.
And you see them more.
It's a balance.
Kind of like me watching Bo. When you're, like, if you're in Jacksonville and your team's not on, well, there's a good chance you'll be watching the Patriots and you might develop an affinity. I also think.
Now, would you have rooted for the Raiders over the Patriots?
No.
Yeah, see, I never would have rooted for anyone over the Patriots.
No.
And any, you know, as frustrated as any of the Billy Sullivan years.
Yeah.
It,
see, I
never,
have to admit, I mean, I moved around. So I moved out of Providence in first grade, you know, so I was a Jets fan, believe it or not, because of Joe Namath. But I also, like I said, I love the Broncos and I love the Steelers because of Mean Joe Green.
A lot
and,
of love in Fred's heart. Those,
like, I was into, like...
I don't know where it all went.
And Jack Lambert. I was into, like, guy players like that.
I was into guys.
Willie Lanier from Kansas City.
Save guys. That!
Guys with the package.
You know, Willie Lanier from Kansas City. I, you know, those guys really intrigued me. So when they played, I was really interested in that. I was more of an AFC guy than an NFC, no doubt
oh,
about
yeah.
it.
No, I would
no root, doubt about it.
Yeah, I got yeah. that from my father. He would always root for the team that was more East or the AFC.
Yeah.
It was, my father was so funny with that stuff.
Is there this? We don't need to get off in this whole topic, but I also think, is there like less passion today? Because I feel like winning teams have plenty of passion, but I don't know that like a Bills fan that's growing up today is as dedicated to their team as, say, like, you know, Red Sox fans, you know, never won for so long. And it's and yet they remain totally impassioned
well, I think
to the team.
There are some. Oh, absolutely.
I think Andy's point is right, though, and I think it's money related. Like, I'm really going to sink all this money into
right.
this and they're not going to win?
Right.
Whereas, you know, you could sort of
didn't
do
cost
it.
Any money to sit by the radio and
well,
listen to the Red
30
Sox.
30 years ago, yeah. you could keep on doing it because
well,
it wasn't
but,
killing
but,
you.
But I see, I'd make the argument when it comes to buying tickets, absolutely. But just remaining fans, I mean, I know people that live in New England now that are from Upper State New York that are still diehard Bills fans. Still die, you know. And it's
but
actually,
from when?
Yeah, but actually, they're not sinking their money in
no, 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 they're not. But
and from when, though?
From a childhood. Because
that, but that's established.
Yeah. But it's hard.
I'm wondering
it's easier now.
Now
to follow your team because of
but
everything.
Andy's talking about the 8-year-old now.
Yeah.
When he's 14, is he still with that team, or has he been beaten down by the fact that they can't win?
Are there a lot of teen and 20-something Bills fans? Are there a lot of teen and 20-something Jags fans?
Yeah. See,
whereas
I,
in the old days, you just grew up rooting for the home team.
I think there's a gap. I think I don't know if anyone's done a study, but I think that up to a point, like,
Andrew Smith,
when you get into high school,
that guy's name
I think. Attention to pro sports wanes in high school, and
oh,
then
yeah.
it goes back up in college.
Oh, I'm not so sure.
You don't think so?
I think it wanes in the 8 years. I don't know specifically how
okay.
much, but it definitely wanes.
High school and college?
I definitely peaked as a fan pre-high school
right.
and post-college.
I
okay.
would totally agree
because you just
with
have
that.
So. Yeah. I mean, you're playing
too
your own sports.
Own
you're
thing.
Doing, yeah.
Right,
I'm
right.
not, and you're a
right.
fan, but you're a periphery fan.
You're playing your own sport.
Yeah.
It's Saturday night. I'm going out.
Right.
It's well, I'm not keeping
it,
track of
it. It peaked again in college for the wrong reasons.
yeah.
If you know what I mean.
yeah. Not. Yeah. A lot of people that I would unfortunately fell into that. But
oh, yeah.
I think Andy, the way Andy described that is exactly how I felt.
Yeah,
now,
I,
that also coincided for me with arguably the worst period of Patriots history ever.
Right. And disco was
you know,
a big distraction.
Coming off the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl 20.
Right.
And they were good the next year. They won the AFC East. Then they gradually, you know, 87 to 93. Was as bad as it gets.
Yep.
And that's, for me, finishing high school, going through college, and then coming out of college. That, to me, there was no reason to be a passionate Patriots fan going 1-15.
Those are known as the bow years for Andy.
Right.
Chris with
the T.I.
Hands.
For me, the no NFL years. That's why I always say, wow, he really did have a lot of great runs.
Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy
New
Year to you.
Happy New Year.
I just want to thank the Colts, the Texans for sucking.
I know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think the bye is really going to help a bunch of guys on this team. And you guys talk about it every week about, you know, the offensive line and the skill position players on offense, and especially our corners. So definitely well needed. And you guys have talked about Black Monday at the beginning. And I guess following the league all these years as a fan, and I'm always fascinated by how quick things can turn. And it really just all does depend on the quarterback. I mean, Shanahan was 6-10 and 5-11, gets RG3, he's in the playoffs, and now they're talking about extending him.
Yep.
You know, it really does like blow my mind. And are you guys, you know, just as fascinated with that? I mean, obviously you're there every day and you see, you know, how great the Patriots have been for how long. But like when you step back and you take a outside look at the league, you know, like it blows my mind.
Well, it's why everybody wonders, is Belichick as great as he seems right now? Or when Brady's gone, if he's still here, you know, you Jeff Fisher was the longest tenured coach, and then Steve McNair's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Young bombs, and all of a sudden he's out of a job. And, you know, Andy Reid was the longest tenured coach, and he decides to move on from McNabb, doesn't make the right decisions, whatever they are, has a couple different quarterbacks come through, and he's out of work. would Belichick be going down that road if Brady leaves and he goes with Matt? You know, all of a sudden, a quarterback and a half later, 3 years later, he's out of work because it fell apart. I mean, there's no doubt the easiest the way to equate success in the NFL is the coach and the quarterback. They go together. And well, I don't think you can do it without either.
Well, you look at Bill
Walsh.
But
you need both.
And you know, he's the case where he had that great quarterback, and then he was smart enough to have that guy in the wings. You know, and I know that he didn't stay. It was Seifert. But he had that guy ready, Steve Young, to continue that.
But the guy was good. That's the part that matters.
Right,
now, other guys have guys in the wings. Andy Reid thought Mike Vick, or he thought Kevin Cobb, or whatever. If the guy's not the right guy,
he planned for it.
Right. If the guy's not a Hall of Famer like Steve Young, or at least really, really good, you know, that plan just blows up and you're out of work in a couple of years.
I know.
So it is fascinating.
It's the easiest way to get fired is not to have a good quarterback.
No, but like everybody, you know, in baseball, it's pitching, but it isn't always pitching. Or in basketball, you got to have a center and a point guard, but you don't always. You know, the Miami Heat don't have a center or a point guard, and yet they're great. You know, like, I don't think any other sport you can definitively say if you get X and Y, you have a 95% chance. In football, if you get a good coach and a good quarterback, you're going to the playoffs.
It's been proven.
So that's why I find it so, you know, I don't know that we'll ever know in New England, because you don't know when those two are going to go their separate ways, or the order, or whatever. You know, Belichick could walk away this year and Brady could be here 3 years, or vice versa, anything. But it'd be interesting to watch from afar. It might not be fun to watch from fans' perspective, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to anything.
That's why you should focus on the here and now.
That's right.
I am.
Don't even look at Denver yet.
So what I'm writing in my commentary for this week, it's known as Black Monday everywhere else. It's known as Buy Monday in New England.
I'm not looking at Denver yet. I'm looking at the gumbo shrimp in New Orleans. Who cares about Denver? Peyton Manning in the cold?
Bring on the bayou. Beads. Boobies. Woohoo!
I'm not worried. I don't care what Paul says.
that strip club with the legs going in and out the little hole in the wall.
Christian, I said I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of Denver. I said that. I'm not afraid of Denver.
But he's not afraid of anyone.
No, I'm just busting him, Paul, because you know how you always say on Felger and Maz that I mean they're like
they don't even think Denver, you know, belongs on the field.
Yeah. No,
they think it's like, you know, Everett playing, you know, anybody in Eastern Massachusetts.
Hey, there is a reason why when the Patriots played the Broncos, they used that up tempo because they had to neutralize the rush, and that was why they did it.
You can't do that in Denver.
You know,
the wind you'll be sucking. Yeah. Logan Mankins and Dan Conley and
yeah.
Well, you know, either way, man, this is great, and I'm so looking forward to it. I'm certainly not looking past the divisional round, all kidding aside. I think any one of these teams, like you guys made a great point about Houston earlier. If Houston wins, that's huge. Like, that is you know, obviously they advance, but mentally, I think for them, if they come out with a good victory against Cincinnati, that's enormous.
Yeah.
I really do. But I love us, man, going forward with that bye week and bring them on, man. Let's take them all.
Yeah. Bring it. Just
all right. Thanks,
bring
Christian.
It.
Thanks,
Happy
Christian.
Happy New Year.
It'd be interesting because I do think that one win and all of a sudden, you know, if they play well, I mean, if they just kind of stumble around and stagger their way to a sloppy win, then, you know, I think all bets would be off. But if they were to, like, sort of get their act back together and then they look and say, all right, well, we blew the bye, but we're right where we were supposed to be. We're going to play them anyway.
Yeah. Do you think one of the problems with Houston is that last year they were without Schaub? They had to use two other quarterbacks. And we all thought, Schaub's back, they're going to be that much better. And he really didn't make that much of a difference. Do you think that's one of their problems?
Fred, it's only been like the last month and a half.
Weren't they 11-1?
They were 11-1.
But did they do it with him because of him or because they had that great defense?
Both.
Everything. Running their offense the way they wanted and playing defense.
The bigger differences in their team right now is offense. So, to your point, Schaub has been terrible in these important games. He's been absolutely awful. But before that, you know, even as badly as they played in those wins over Jacksonville and Detroit that started this whole slide, the offense was putting up huge points. Schaub has been absolutely terrible.
Before you're scratching your back, you're going to go to a break. Can you answer me the question what divisional round means?
You're playing teams in divisions. I don't know. It's not the winner of divisions. Right.
That's what I said. Yeah. We were talking about
ideas. It's a carryover before they had the wild
card. Can we fix it? It's stupid.
But why wouldn't you just have like first round, semifinals, finals?
Can we get rid of it?
You know what I mean?
First, we've changed round, everything else. We've changed every rule in the, I mean, kickoffs are different now. We can't change the name of the round. That makes 0.0 sense.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Not division winners.
Can we send a memo to somebody?
What?
Can we send a memo to somebody?
Well, they have to have something because they need a logo. So you can't just say first, second round. So we'll have to come up with
what I'm
a better.
Saying. Make it conference semifinals.
Yeah, something like that. There you
What's
go.
Wrong with that?
Yeah, conference semi.
First round, conference semifinals.
Because right now it's stupid and meaningless and pointless and misleading and everything. It's terrible.
Okay.
I'm not quite as upset about it as Andy was, but. He is right.
Like he said, there are logos and there are trophies and there are like things. And no one said, what does this mean that we're engraving on this or whatever, you know, this logo? Like, what does this mean? And no one said, well, you're right. Maybe we should change that while we're changing. They changed the NFL logo a couple years ago. Remember, you know, the little morph and it.
And really, it never was. Like, even, you know, way back when they first, you know, the merger, it was three divisions and they had four playoff teams, one wild card and the three division winners. So even then, it wasn't. It was a wild card team playing. Then they added a wild card.
It would
card
only make sense if it was the four division winners playing that weekend.
Right.
The divisional round. You won your division, and we're. I mean, but that's not the reality.
Yeah.
Can we fix it,
Andy Hart?
You know people.
One more call before we get a break because he's been holding on for a long time. Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
How are you?
Wee. Yeah, you're spending too much time with Jeff.
Yeah, it was an homage to Jeffy Fagan. Happy New Year. No, Happy New Year to everyone in your family. And
you too. Thank you.
Was it a good rendition, Paul?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Thank you.
I like the New Year.
Yeah.
It's no less fake than his.
And I also wanted to wish a Happy New Year to Patriots Nation and congratulations to the team for getting a bye. I thought it was a great win. Now,
yeah, we haven't really talked about the game, huh? How far into the show are we?
Well, I was actually debating whether or not to bring the game book down because I didn't figure it would be a big
about an hour 10 in. We didn't even talk about the nice shutout.
We have to celebrate victories because they are difficult to come by.
That's true. You shouldn't look past them. They earned that victory.
Olivier, do you get any material that doesn't come from Bill Belichick? your job.
Yes, that's what I you know, I when my wife and I have an argument, I use Bill Belichick's types of responses.
But it's very negative because if they had eked out a 28-26 win, we'd be talking about it. We'd be saying this team's limping into the postseason and you barely beat. But they go out and take care of business, win 28-0, and we'll just skip past it and start talking divisional round and why they call it the divisional round.
Well, you know, and
you don't want to start that.
People start thinking that, you know, we're going to be playing Denver in the final. I don't know about that. I think we still have a lot of work to do and people to get healthy for us to even consider going to Denver if we get there. And even if we get there, I am concerned about that game because I don't even know how we're going to be able to fare. I don't fear playing them, but I just fear losing against them without having a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, I think we have to be humble and don't take things for granted because it's going to get very difficult to get there.
Now, I agree.
Yeah. Now, the question I have is that do you think that a bye for Denver can be detrimental to them? I know it's going to be good for us because we know how to deal with it. History shows that we've done very well usually after a bye, but it's not for everyone. For example, we know that the Giants last year, you know, they were on a roll, and some team, you know, can't really focus after a bye. So I was wondering if Denver would potentially fall into that trap, or maybe not. But
I don't think it's ever bad to have a week off unless you're a really young, unproven, unknown team.
Yeah.
And Denver went to the postseason last year. They played a couple games. Their leader, Peyton Manning, has been in endless postseasons. He's done it a variety of ways. He can offer different viewpoints. But the bulk of that team, I mean, the Colts are a team that I don't know how good you would have said you felt about them having a week off, losing momentum, not knowing how to deal with it, luck, all that. But for a team like the Broncos, there's no downside to not playing and waiting for
them. I'm trying to feel better about myself. You're not helping, Andy.
Well, you should feel better about yourself as you have a damn good football team that already beat the Broncos, that can go on the road and win in the NFL, and you have Tom Brady, and they don't.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Cincinnati went to Denver, assuming that they won their divisional round, and beat them. I'm thinking the teams are that close.
Well, that's what I would put. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, ..
Anyone.
And play it. You know, if the Colts go to the Super Bowl, I'll be surprised. But any of the other five teams, I would not be surprised if they went to the Super Bowl.
I think Baltimore too. But
I wouldn't be surprised if there's any upsets, wins. However you give me the scores, I'll say, okay.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Olivier. Happy New Year.
Hold on a second. I would just hate to see Mr. King to be right in this projection from last year, you know, saying that the Denver against X in the Super Bowl against the Pats. So I want him to be wrong.
Okay.
But anyways, Happy New Year, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Didn't he also have Denver advancing with a tie or a loss or something?
It's obviously a typo.
Well, maybe the actual team he wrote in the Super Bowl was a typo. Maybe he didn't mean that either.
All right. All right, we'll take a break now. We haven't taken one yet. It's
109. New year, same Andy.
Eric's here. When we come back, he'll give us the practice report right after this.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Ah,
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance. She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about 4 at the discos. I like disco. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller coaster of love.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Eric's back from the cold.
Yeah, it's a little chilly out there.
Bye week. It's about, in case anyone's interested, about 26 degrees out.
About 26?
Yeah, that's about right. Feels it, too.
Okay.
Wind chill, though. That's what gets you. It's biting.
So Eric was out of practice and also at Bill Belichick's press conference.
Yes, which he started off with a little remembrance of Don Brosher.
Right.
He was the longtime equipment manager here for, 40 years?
Yeah.
Something like that. Who died on, technically was on New Year's Day. It was overnight.
Yep.
Right after.
Had
right
leukemia.
After yeah. And had been sick for a while. And so Bill got a little bit, he was a little bit moved by the whole thing. He recounted a story about 6 months ago, right before the season, when the assistant guy, John Hillenbrand, went to Jacksonville. And he brought, Brosh went into Belichick's office and was, talking about, I want to do this probably for a few more years, this and that, and, talking about how they're going to, make up for the loss of Hillenbrand and things like that. And Bill said, we're talking about all those things, and now 6 months later, here we are, where we are, and you just don't, you realize, on a day like Monday, Black Monday, as they call it in the NFL, when all these guys are getting fired, this kind of puts things a little bit in more perspective, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
A little rare moment for Belichick to get a little bit philosophical about
yeah,
things.
I mean,
apologize for my voice, too.
You think about the equipment manager.
Struggling with something here.
But the equipment manager for a football team is a pretty tough job.
God, yeah.
yeah, especially a pro team.
Dealing with 53
and
prima donnas.
The equipment manager for a football team with Bill Belichick as the head coach is even tougher.
Well, and even for New England, and I know now they have turf, so it's a little different, but over the years dealing with different the fields and the conditions and the three-quarter cleats and the half-inch cleats. And like my mother this week said, those jackets that the Dolphins had on, do the Patriots provide those? And I was like, no. She's like, well, every team travels? Yeah, that's why you see these massive trucks and cases and,
right.
They pull out these drawers with, the things for the helmets and the things for the this and the things for the that. And especially this day and age where there's more equipment than ever and more different, not a job I'd want.
Yeah. So
plus the stickers on the helmet.
Yeah, so it was sad to hear about that. I took me a surprise because he had been at the game.
I think he was at the last two games.
Yeah.
Yep.
The last two home games, San Francisco and Miami.
Yep.
He was at those two games. So, yeah.
You just never know.
60 years old.
Yeah, and he didn't look 60. He was in good shape, you know, real fit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, had a young type of look to him. So you just don't know. So he started out with that.
Yeah. Right. And then obviously, you know, questions about how they're preparing this week and the unknown of who the opponent is going to be and how much is self-scouting, how much is trying to prepare for. And, you know, he admitted, you know, we'll know on Saturday at least whether or not if Houston wins, we're playing Houston. So they'll know that as early as possible.
Right.
And if that's what happens, then they can get a jump on their preps. If they have to wait till Sunday, then they have to wait. But
right.
That's pretty
but
much
either it. Way, it's a rematch. So
yeah. Any
there
of the
is some foundation
play,
of right. information
so it's
done.
Not, yeah.
You know, even the one, Baltimore is the oldest, but they've also played Baltimore three times in X number
played
of months.
A lot. Like being back in the division almost.
Right. Oh, you'll get that if it's Baltimore.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty good schedule if you're sort of the scouting guys and the advanced type guys. You've done mm-hmm. a lot of this work before.
Right. Yeah. So, and they went outside today.
Burr.
Yeah, they had the lower field where the Revolution normally practice.
Who's that?
Hey, is there something out there like a
field?
No, like some kind of big bubble out there, dark colored bubble.
That's on the lower field.
Yeah.
To keep it
moist.
Well, no, to keep the grass growing. They have
right.
they have created sort of a greenhouse.
And they
out
blow
there,
heat
which is
hydroponics.
They keep it heated. Throughout the day.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because
I was driving into them, like, what the hell is that?
They it was a UFO or
right.
something?
Yeah, I've never seen it before.
Yeah, they have basically a bubble-type greenhouse out there to keep the grass, growing.
Okay.
So that they can practice
so
out there.
I wasn't going crazy.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, it's two separate issues. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
One,
not willing to
they also resodded the other one, too, right? And they probably do it there. It was a little while back
the
I
upper
saw
field?
That. Yeah, looked like they had redone the center strip.
I think that's covered in snow now.
Oh, yeah, they didn't clean it.
So,
bitches.
But they did have this one out. So they were out there today in shells on a cold day.
Yeah.
And they only have two practices this week, today and tomorrow. And then.
Got any black jerseys?
A little bright. Yeah, we got four of them, actually. But I should tell you who wasn't there.
That's, oh, yeah.
You know.
Especially since it's relevant.
Yeah, Tom Brady. You okay now?
No, if that continues into future practices, no.
Yeah. Rob Ninkovich, not a surprise. But the reports on him are encouraging.
Yes.
The reports I've seen. That it was muscle related, and not structural,
and not a bruise,
and not a bruise. So, that's potentially good news for him.
Just to let everybody know, Fred and Andy have a little bet on Rob Ninkovich. So,
Fred said it was a bruise.
When you don't,
I
really
said it was
know,
more
well,
than
you
a bruise.
Were there. Okay.
No, I wasn't.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know what the bet is.
I said that we don't know the severity. It could be anything from a dislocation to a bone bruise.
And I said I bet it's not a bruise.
Oh no. We bet that he will play or not
right.
for the playoffs. That's the bet.
And I'm going to lose, but I'm also going to win because he's going to play limited snaps and he's going to be limited in his play.
But you were
and
saying,
I had another bet ready to go,
you were talking,
money,
it was
double
the
or
end
nothing,
of his
and you pushed out and put your headphones on and ignored me because you were wrong.
What are you talking about?
The Hulk bet. You were dead wrong. I mean, you put your headphones onto it and so you wouldn't hear me.
There's nothing.
What?
I
go
might,
ahead, Eric.
I might still be able to reel him in here.
Okay. Dante
I got a fat one on the lore.
Dante Hightower was not present either at practice.
So no Hightower.
Oh, good. So, you know, no Ninkovich or Hightower. Perfect.
Oh, for crying out loud. Really.
But it is a bye week.
Yeah.
So.
Brady did not practice during this week last year.
I'm not worried about Brady. I was just kidding when I did the for Brady.
Yeah, but there'd be no one else that would fall into the category for me.
Gronk?
No.
Now, do you think – I know last year leading into the playoffs we had the long list of injuries again, but then once the playoffs came –
That narrow.
Do you think they'll do the same thing this year?
Yes.
Possibly.
I think so. We were talking about that last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't know for sure if they will, but if you ask me.
Yeah.
It's already started. I mean, those three guys, Marquise Cole was not among them. And
right.
he missed practice last week with that left pinky.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily talking about practice. I'm talking about the injury report. Where
I
they
know.
Have.
I'm just.
Because they've had 21 guys on the injury report. They were
right.
all
yeah.
at practice.
Right.
With
at
the
practice.
Exception of Cole. Every single one of them was at practice.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't think there's going to be 21 guys listed on the injury report.
Probably not.
For the
I hope
playoffs.
Not, because I'm getting tired of listing them all.
Annoying.
All right.
Well, especially the ones who haven't missed, like, anything that have been on there forever.
A lot
the
of
Welkers.
Oh, yeah.
And the...
A lot of media at the practice?
Eventually. Yeah. People. Well, a lot of people stayed because Bill.
They had to file the blogs.
Oh, Bill was at the same
Bill
time?
Was at, Bill was supposed to be early, but as always, he wasn't. And some people stay to hear his whole thing. Some of us go out just to
get away from him.
Yes. And to get practice done. So it started out, it was me and Rodak, our friend, Mike Rodak, and Bilo.
Bilo.
And then about five minutes later,
here
a bunch
comes
of other
Honey
people
Bilo.
Came in.
So it was all internal media for the beginning of practice.
Did you watch any of the New Year's Eve stuff, you know, on the networks?
No. Watching the Avengers.
Andy, I need to relay the story to you because this is the
is this the
Kathy
CNN
Griffin
thing?
Can you believe that?
No, I don't know what it is.
Kathy Griffin told Anderson Cooper she wanted to tickle his sack.
Oh, and she, like, goodness. Kissed him or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I saw all the photos. I didn't see the live.
She does know that he's...
Well, she is too, isn't she?
Oh, she is?
No, she goes out with somebody.
So. I never heard that.
I thought maybe that's why it was acceptable because, you know, there was nothing there. It was like a gag because... gag.
NBC. This is the prototypical Andy Hart. I had my typical Miller Lite in my hand, Fred, and I almost spit it all over my sister-in-law's couch. They go down, you know, Carson Daly's the host, and he goes down to, like, you know, the street, whatever, and I don't even have any idea who this woman is, but she's on The Office, the blonde on The Office. I don't have any idea who it is. All she did was scream
Amy
and screech.
Ryan?
I couldn't tell you. If you could tell me the name, I would have no idea.
She was in Gone Baby Gone?
Don't know.
You saw Gone Baby Gone.
I did, but I don't know if this is... I mean, she's got a winter coat, you know, the hat. Almost not recognizable. Anyway.
Especially if you don't know who she is.
She's trying to do a contest. You know, the bike fences that all the people are having to stand behind? She wants to see if the old, Christmas story thing, if you touch, you know, with your tongue, it'll stick.
Yep.
So she says, I'm trying to get three people for a contest to... put their tongues on the bike fence or whatever. You know, I don't know what she was saying. But anyway, this is how she finishes up. Has anyone out here ever licked a pole? And I almost spit my entire Miller Lite all over. My brother-in-law is dying laughing. I'm like doubled over.
She did it on purpose.
I was Andy Hart. I could not stop laughing. I was like almost uncontrollably laughing at this point. And Beth is looking. She's like, I cannot believe she just said that. I can't. She just kept saying it over again. I can't believe she just said that.
And did they react on the camp like Carson Daly? Or
I was laughing too hard to see what the reaction was. Honest to God, I have no idea. Has anyone ever licked a pole? That's what she said.
That's good stuff.
That
right,
was
good, clean fun right there,
good,
Paul.
Good, clean fun.
Web radio.
And by the way, none of their tongues
got
stuck.
We're going to lay more pipe.
No?
None of their tongues got stuck.
Was it not cold enough?
I don't know.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee on the phone. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Good.
What's up?
No, but I know these questions more related towards Paul because it's like pre-draft last year. I guess just Paul disagreed. I mean, it's his opinion. I respect that. I kind of agree with it after listening, but I thought that the Patriots shouldn't be drafting a lot of defensive backs. I feel like we missed on them a lot throughout recent years, and I guess Paul disagreed, and I think Andy did that as well, but I wanted to get more players that have already been in the league, so I guess the Patriots kind of did both, getting Tlaib and Gregory, and then still having Tavon Wilson and Dinner. I just wanted to know you all's opinion on how do you all think that the new defensive backs did versus the ones that been in our league. We brought some guys in. I guess both of them have had their hot points and low points. But how do you all, how would you all evaluate the Tlaib and Gregory's versus the younger guys that we drafted this year?
I mean, I think Dennard's been very good. Now he hasn't been able to play on a weekly basis. He got off to a slow start with injuries, and now he's been slowed lately with injuries. I liked what I saw in between. Gregory, same kind of thing. He got off to a slow start, then he got hurt and was out for a while. I think he's been much better lately. Tlaib is almost an incomplete because, we got to see him a couple of games. He was coming back from the suspension, and now he's been operating at far below 100%. So I like what I see of all of those guys when they're out there and they look healthy. Tavon Wilson, to me, hasn't really done a whole lot. to stand out either way. I'm not giving up on him.
Not positive.
Yeah, I'm not giving up on him. I think he's got some. He started off some strong, intriguing. Though. Yeah, I don't think he did.
No, I mean, as far as he was contributing.
He was out there more, but was it out of necessity?
Yeah.
But I also think the plays that he made were just kind of happenstance.
Yeah. I think he. I mean, we joked about him having a magnet in his chest, and the ball was just kind of finding him. I don't think he's been very good. I don't think Tlaib has been very good. I would put those two as not very good. So one's a rookie, one's a veteran. And I think the other two have battled injuries but shown a lot of promise in both I think Gregory's played really well when healthy, especially the second half of the season. Tackling is still an issue for him. I'm still not in love with him as a tackler.
Yeah, he's small.
I don't care about his small. He just can't tackle. Maybe he's afraid. Maybe he knows he's small and he knows he won't last long if he, you know, has done too much hitting, so he avoids hitting. I don't know. But I think he's done a pretty good job as a free safety, kind of making plays. And I think Dennard, I think those two guys are at the high end, and one's a veteran, one's a rookie. And I think the other two are at the low end, one's a veteran, one's a rookie. So I don't think you can make a, you know, age or experience declaration based on how they added those four DBs.
All right, thanks for the call, Melvin. Let's get to some of these emails. Nathan from Southern California says, first, I need to admit that I was wrong. I was absolutely incorrect that the Patriots kissed away a first-round bye after the San Francisco loss. I really think that the Texans are on a downward spiral and the Bengals could hand them another loss. I'm interested, which scenario would you guys prefer for the playoffs this year? I don't think it could have been any easier for us last year with a double bye week than the Ravens at home. What do you think would be the best path to Jacksonville this postseason year? I mean, we talked about that on the top of the show. I think we kind of all agree Colts would be the easiest.
And Colts-Bengals. If you can do Colts-Bengals at home, if you don't go to the Super Bowl, you have no excuses to make.
I mean, even if you'd want to take it from a pure statistical standpoint, it's 5-6.
Right.
So it can't get any easier than that.
Strippers writes in, he says, a case for and against the Patriots reaching the Super Bowl. This is from NFL.com, Dan Jeremiah.
Oh, yeah.
He says, how do they make a deep run?
Never heard of Billy Bear.
Recently returned tight end Gronkowski sparks an offensive explosion. Brady benefits from a solid ground attack, utilizing his tight ends to produce a chunk plays down the field. The young secondary allows some big gains, but comes up with a few key turnovers. And how do they get eliminated? A physical Baltimore Ravens team pushes around New England's offensive line, or the Pats simply run into a red-hot Denver team on the road and lose a shootout. I don't see any of the other AFC teams giving New England much of a problem. See, I think Cincinnati would give more of a problem than the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't necessarily.
I don't think Cincinnati is anywhere near as talented as Baltimore.
I think Cincinnati would be tough, but I don't know if they'd be tougher than the
Cincy's
Ravens.
A tough physical game. They have a tough physical front. You know, they have kind of all the pieces on offense, a 1,000-yard running back, a decent quarterback, an elite receiver who can certainly challenge you, a tight end who can challenge you. But I don't think they're as big a threat.
You know, to me, if you play Baltimore, you always have the risk, and as slim as it may be, you get one of those games that you get the good Flacco.
Right.
The good Dalton's not going to put up a lot of points. The good Flacco put up 31 to beat you earlier in the year. The good Flacco last year had his team in position to win the game at the end, you know, if not for a Sterling Moore strip.
Really 28 because that last field goal wasn't good.
Okay, 28, even though we'll just ignore the points they scored. 28. The good Flacco can do that. Andy Dalton can't. I don't think that they can put up points. And I think in order to beat the Patriots, I agree with – what's that guy's name? I never heard that name in my life.
Dan Jeremiah.
Denver could beat you in a shootout. I don't see Cincinnati beating you in a shootout.
I don't see it, but I could see how it could happen. I mean, I'm sorry. I still have no faith in this secondary, and I think they have a good tight end and a good wide receiver who could turn a couple big chunk plays, and all of a sudden, if you get their normal, you know, two touchdowns, and then you get an 80-yard touchdown for A.J. Green and a 50-yard play for Gresham, now all of a sudden you're at 28 points, and who knows how that game unfolds.
TG and NJ, all season long, Andy says the Colts are no good, and Paulie says the NFC West sucks. That does it. Colts versus Seattle in the Super Bowl.
I knew where that was going.
You know the league wants the Colts versus the Broncos. They probably do. I mean,
I think they would also take Brady Manning.
You're high if you think they would rather have the Colts and the Broncos than the Patriots and the Broncos. You don't think they would rather have Brady and Manning?
I think Colts-Broncos would be their
number two.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, I mean, Brady, you don't get better than Brady Manning over the last 10 years.
Last year I said the Patriots weren't going to the big game because the defense sucked. This year I'll say the offense is too banged up with injuries. Maybe that will work. Key to the success for the postseason, I say run and keep running the football. What do you guys say?
Paul, I know what Paul says.
I know you got an issue with that, Paul.
Yeah, I don't.
Paul says never run, ever.
I think you need to run the ball.
I don't
but
say
I think
never run. Let's not. Don't. But don't make it sound to the theater of the absurd.
Paul says, "Go up 21-0, then run."
Then run.
If Tom Brady has a bad game, they're going to lose. So you have. It's Tom Brady's team.
What if
it's
Tom Brady office. Has a bad game and the team they're playing against quarterback has a bad game? You know, Manning has a bad game.
Well, then it's going to be a close game, and we'll see. But I
okay,
we'll see.
That's thank you.
No, but I'm just saying, Tom Brady's the key to the offense.
I agree.
You know,
and but I'll tell you the one thing that
not running the ball.
Nothing
is anybody
my
concerned offensively at all?
Paul,
I'm a little concerned offensively
because
about,
of the offensive line,
and no, because of what he just said. I think they're a little banged up offensively, and they, you know, I don't think it's been very smooth over the last month or so.
If we had Edelman, it'd be a lock.
Of course. Of course. But he's not healthy. That's part of my problem.
I would argue if you had Hernandez playing well.
Is he eligible for the playoffs?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, please.
Don't do that because people might actually hear it.
I know, but you wouldn't believe how many times you get that question and ask PFW.
That's why I'm saying it.
I delete it.
Just a quick personal note. My mother-in-law yesterday goes, told you that the Colts made the wrong decision when they let Manning go. I go,
oh, God.
What the hell are you talking about? They're in the playoffs, and they're going to be good for the next 15 years because they have a great Oh, and she got mad and walked away.
He doesn't even let his mother-in-law win an argument.
Well, it was ridiculous. If it had been an argument that I could kind of let her skate by, but it was a ridiculous
thing to
say.
But you don't ever bite your
tongue. She doesn't know about Andrew Luck.
But you don't bite your tongue on arguments with your mother-in-law?
Well, not if she comes at me.
If she knew about the Broncos, she must know.
If you're going to come at me with Peyton Manning, I told you so from the summer, then I'm firing back with the truth.
I would have given it one of those uncomfortable laughs and changed the subject.
No, not me.
But Andy actually brought up something. We were talking about this. Can you imagine if Andrew Luck stunk this year with what Peyton Manning has done?
Then mother-in-law would have been right.
Right.
But can you imagine the reaction in you know, the Bill Polians of the world and it just the whole reaction in Indy. You know, forget the Chuck Pagano angle, but just Andrew Luck just number one, it's not unprecedented.
And, I mean,
if he was Tim Couch.
Let's pretend he's a 70, you know, passer rating and 50 complete. Oh, wait, that's what he is.
No, I'm talking about stunk.
Here's right.
And like not winning games.
Not winning games, not making any plays,
the Colts
throwing,
were 2-14
you know,
again.
Yes.
Right. It would have been tremendously entertaining. Because then there would have been a good argument and back
meanwhile,
and
the guy they decided we can't bring back, you know, goes 13-3.
Right. But we'll never know because they're both good.
Brandon and Callie, hey, guys, how are ya?
Why is this spreading?
Anywho, yeah. I believe that the whole Ray Lewis retiring thing is BS. I believe he's trying to use this to motivate his team. The Ravens got no mojo, and Lewis is looked as this father figure guy for their team. So I believe the Ravens players would try to do the most to get him a ring, and after the season, I see him pulling a Brett Favre for the next 2 to 3 years.
I don't.
I don't think he's that kind of player.
Nope.
I think he's done. I think he was ready to be done, and then he got hurt.
Right.
And
did everything he could to get back.
Yeah, I think that's the whole reason why he's coming back, is he didn't want to go out like that.
Right. And he would have. The tough thing would have been if he couldn't come back.
I think he may have done the Brett Favre thing.
The quotes are, I don't see any reason why I'm not playing on Sunday, blah, blah, blah. Like, so he, I mean, I hopefully, you know, Harbaugh agrees, but it sounds like he believes he's totally back. I think it would have been hard if he had been injured, then he would have waffled.
Agree.
Matt Root writes in. He says, short time listener, first time emailer. I've been a Patriots fan in Indiana since they drafted Vegas Ferguson from the nearby town of Richmond. I was in third grade.
Very nice.
The 87-93 years were known as my Bengal years. How's that for an upgrade?
Vegas Ferguson spoke at my Pop Warner banquet in 1980-ish.
Is that right? Ferguson. Did people tell him to leave?
It's a great name.
Did people tell him to leave?
Was he supposed to be there, or did he just show up? And
he was good.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Vegas Ferguson had one good year, I believe. I think he ran for 1,000 yards as a rookie.
He's got a good name. I mean, you know. You're right, Eric?
He's a little under the weather.
He's
why don't you leave him alone?
He's blowing his nose, and with that thing, it takes a couple times.
I'd break his nose, but he only got two hands.
Wyatt, the Alaskan Cowboy, writes in, with Romeo Crennel, do you want to sign him to defensive coordinator still or defensive coordinator assistant for the rest of the year and then promote him? And Brian Hoyer, Mike Lombardi looked like an idiot. I guess
Brian Hoyer.
I guess that's not a sentence. I get the point.
Something like that, yeah.
He's right. Yeah. Now he has his chance, so and he needs a quarterback. So Brian Hoyer is going to be available. Mike Lombardi should just get him.
I think he needs to give up whatever it takes.
Right.
I think he needs to trade his entire draft for Brian Hoyer.
I agree.
Jeevan writes in.
Not really fair, but didn't fare all that well against San Francisco in his start.
Well, I mean.
I said not really fair. Good, tough defense.
You know who didn't fare all that well against San
Tom
Francisco?
Tom Brady.
Jeevan writes in, Sunday felt like a tune-up game leading into the playoffs. Loved the constant pressure we got on Tannehill in the game, but I was really annoyed by seeing all the players, especially Gronk, even in a limited role, playing in the fourth quarter. Who would you rather play, Texans or Ravens? Finally, a bit off the radar, but what are your guys' top single play or highlight from 2012? Mine is Bubba Watson's shot at Augusta in the playoffs from the pine straw. Still unbelievable.
I thought for sure he meant Patriots related.
Yeah. Yeah. If we're just going any game, I don't know if I can answer that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Patriots. Clowney's hit yesterday is pretty – oh, that doesn't count. That was 2013, I guess.
Yeah. Did you happen to see that one, Fred?
I did.
Did you see the whole – did you watch the game?
I watched
– no.
I was
unprecedented. Absolutely unprecedented with my referee bashing. I've never seen a non-judgment call erroneously called.
Which one was that?
Michigan faked –
when they measured.
Michigan faked a punt.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It was the – you saw the Clowney play? It was the play before that.
I was switching back and forth.
Anyway, they went for it. It was really close right up. They put the ball down. They spot it. They bring the chains out. And he's short by about a chain link. And the referee said, first down. And Spurrier was like – it was right on that sideline. Spurrier went absolutely bananas. And he's pointing. And the guy gets down, looks again, and reiterates, first down. The next play, Clowney came flying through, de-cleated some poor running back, knocked his helmet off, knocked the ball out, and recovered with one hand. So it was a moot point. But I've never seen a non-judgment call so erroneously called. You either got to the stick or you didn't.
Right.
And it was clear that he didn't. And he just said, first down.
Wow.
Never saw it. Never seen anything like it.
Measure nine times.
You like Clowney, Andy?
Oh, God, yeah.
Clowney
what's not
is
to
an
like?
Animal.
Number one overall pick, 2014.
You think so?
Yeah, he's a true sophomore.
Because he's got
though,
one
so
more
he
year.
Has to
yeah.
stay.
Do.
Yeah.
You know, assuming he doesn't blow out his knee or something right. and that
yeah, physical,
muddies the water.
Physical but, freak.
He's ridiculous. He's been ridiculous. He was ridiculous in high school. They talked about him in that. I watched one of those Army-Navy games or something that they play with the high school
well,
kids.
Well, they're using him
and
now in that
there's
promo.
There's nothing funny about
that?
Clowney.
And he was, he's one, yes, thank you. He's one of those legends that has lived up to the legendary, like, hype. You know, sometimes they peter out. These guys are going to be great, right. and they're not, he has been everything as advertised and better. And I've watched him a few times this year because there was one game against Georgia I watched because my guy Arthur
oh,
Lynch,
he was
the
amazing
tight end,
against Georgia,
and
too.
He's just ridiculous. I mean, yesterday's play was kind of freakish because it was, he was unblocked, but. And a lot of them, plenty of people are unblocked and don't finish a play. Like he exploded through the guy, nearly killed him.
And
I was literally worried that we were going to see a death.
I also look at it as
a fat on this kid.
No,
I also look at it as one of those kinds of plays where it's amazing how you get screwed as a defense, and this is your response. It was literally the next snap. He broke through, hit the guy in the backfield 5 yards deep, knocked the ball out, and reached over with one hand and recovered the fumble.
He's special, and I don't just mean physically. He has the it. The special it thing that makes him special.
Keep an eye, and I'll have to look it up. I forget the kid's name, but the left tackle for Michigan did a great job on him for large stretches of that game, too. Keep an eye on him as a tackle. I mean, the Patriots probably not going to be taking a left tackle in the first round, but
Will writes
he was pretty impressed. I thought he did a good job of handling Clowney.
How do you guys feel about the Patriots' defense going into the playoffs? Personally, I'm feeling much better about it this year than last year. It seems like they're playing better, covering better, and doing a better job of getting to the quarterback. Furthermore, they finished in the top 10 of scoring defense this year. Do you think it's good enough to win a Super Bowl?
I feel better about the defense.
Well, last year's defense was good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I feel better about it because
no,
of
it wasn't.
The people playing. I think I'd rather have...
I don't know how you can say that.
Giants marched up and down the field at will.
And they still had a chance to win.
The defense wasn't good enough to win a Super Bowl. My proof is they didn't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Keep talking with your hands.
Wow.
Talk with your hands full.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
You're among idiots.
That's true.
And you're one.
That's true. But I feel better about the personnel than I did last year. There's, you know, it's not Sterling Moore and you know... Whoever else. Did Antoine Molden play a role? I forget all the other guys that were playing down the stretch. Sterling Moore definitely played a role in the Super Bowl.
Yehidibo?
They don't have those guys
I think
out
Nate
there.
Ebner adds depth.
I would argue Sterling Moore got you to the Super Bowl.
No, but would you feel better about Tlaib and Dennard and McCourty than you would Sterling Moore and Phillip Adams and Antoine Molden?
Yeah, as a group.
Yeah, well, that's
all
I'm
saying. Still not sold on Tlaib.
I don't think they're playing, you know... you know, it's easy to say they got seven sacks and they're in the top. You know, they went in the last 2 weeks, they went from, I think, 24 in scoring defense to tied for ninth or something like that. I think you can get kind of lost in a shutout in the last game of the season when the other team certainly had one foot on the bus, as Fred, I think that's the way you put it.
Right.
Are they actually on the bus right now? I think he said in the middle of the second quarter.
Sean in California, guys, further proof, Peyton hates playing in the cold. He wore a glove on his throwing hand. As much as I want to see Peyton's face in a few weeks, I really don't see Menver taking a week off and turning it back on again to play a hot Indy team or Baltimore. They've been playing JV teams the last several weeks and got Baltimore when they were a mess. That's right. The Super Bowl goes through Foxborough again. All the talking heads want to see Brady Manning showdown in the AFC Championship, which is why it won't happen. Nothing sweeter than bye week. Rest up, get healthy, and F the Jets.
They've been playing JV games while we had to play the tough Jags and Dolphins.
But I actually, you know, just as that emailer said, that email that I talked about earlier, they left out Baltimore as one of the games in their 11-game winning streak. So that's Cincinnati and Baltimore they beat in their 11-game, two winning teams, same as the Patriots, in that same 11-game span.
You telling me you need to edit your SPFW?
Yes, I will. I will need to edit that because I took the guy's word for it. I didn't look it up. Don't check it. Just go with it.
Brad writes
in. Don't you often get in trouble because of that?
No, usually that's when I'm writing my own things. When a guy writes in a question, I assume that there's some validity to it.
You're the one who says fans are stupid.
Well, then I answer.
Aren't the people on SPFW fans?
No, then I answer based on my opinion of the guy's question, and I disagreed with his premise, as I do with Roger.
Should have disagreed with his facts, apparently.
What's the matter with you? Why so exasperated?
I'm not exasperated.
What's your problem?
We're really just not going to talk about the game at all, like Gronk or
grudgingly.
Anything.
Well, I was just going to – you mentioned Gronk. Brad writes in, how healthy do you think Gronk's arm is? He didn't really use it to block. Do you think it's more of a mental thing at this point?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Could be, but he –
it's a mental block.
It might be, but
– more than a physical block.
Eric, you have reservations about him even playing.
Yeah, I didn't like that they threw him out there.
Because you saw the x-rays, and you were convinced that he should have not played.
Why do you have to take it to that level?
I'm just wondering.
I wouldn't have played him either.
No. No, just for precaution's sake, I would have done it.
If the doctor told me he was fine, then I would play him.
Well, Friday morning he wasn't fine.
I doubt that the doctor said, you could go either way. I doubt that that's what they said.
Well, the way he was not blocking concerned me. And I think it was more than a mental thing.
Well, I think...
Because he's practiced for 3 weeks now.
But he hasn't blocked like that for 3 weeks. That's the problem.
Well, but I would assume... Well, maybe I shouldn't assume that. But I would assume in practice you're doing some sort of blocking drills where you're actually using...
But no one's in pads and...
But even if you hit the sled, you're still hitting something with force. Yeah. You should know whether or not you can test
that. And I don't know how
armor.
Much of that he did because he wasn't cleared medically.
And I do think there's some
but
mental...
he was cleared medically.
No, prior to playing, he wasn't cleared medically.
The earliest he didn't look 100% to me.
No, see, I'm with Eric.
Well, he definitely wasn't.
On that part of it, and I agree with Andy and Eric in that I wouldn't have played him. And I'll take a little bit of a different tact here. If that's the best, and you saw what he was doing. You saw that he was favoring the arm and keeping it back and not using it. I don't want him out there blocking. I don't want – what if someone, you know, beats him because he wasn't putting a good effort in blocking-wise, and all of a sudden Brady gets waylaid? I don't see any reason – I don't see the advantages of having him out there.
Well, the advantage
now, they
is
looked like they
getting
got away
that
with
effort in the in a, finale
in a,
rather
in a,
than
a meaningless
in the playoff
game. But, I mean,
if he comes out better in the playoff game, you certainly can argue you got the crap out of the way in a meaningless.
But you know what I'm saying? What if something had happened? Not necessarily to Gronkowski, but to someone else because he was afraid to use his arm.
Football players play football.
Yes, but they give us an effort in trying to do their job. And
he was giving an effort. He just wasn't giving an arm.
Yeah, so he wasn't giving his best effort.
Now, I'll say...
Maybe it was his best effort.
Maybe
it's physical.
He didn't look like he was having any trouble catching the ball.
That's why I wouldn't have had him on the field.
Which was good.
But that's because that's what he's been doing.
Right.
That's my point of why it's mental. Because he's been catching. He had no qualms about, oh, this is going to hurt, whatever. He hadn't hit anybody, and he needs to learn he can hit people or not hit people or whatever. It feels like it was cold. He landed on it. Clearly, he was getting used to it being touched.
And we're going to have to wait to see what happens in the next game because he still ain't hit anybody to see if it's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's true. But he did hit the ground pretty good.
He hit the ground on the first catch. You know, but I, you know, like you said, that's the only thing he could do is catch passes. So
right. Now, the good
I wouldn't
news
expected
is,
that to be a problem.
It looks like he survived the game without any sort of obvious setbacks.
Yeah. Right.
So he's got a game behind him now.
I wouldn't have done it, but I think it was a positive experience.
Yeah, I mean, the way it all unfolded, you know.
I can't blame him for Ninkovich's injury.
Great.
I think the game would have been perfect if it weren't for the Ninkovich injury.
Yeah.
I think that was the black mark on that game.
No, well, I would have liked to have seen them play a little bit better offensively early in the game.
Well, but you also have to, you know, human nature. It's kind of tough to get up for that game to begin with. They did know that they were playing for something with the result of the Texans game. But
well, I think they were also playing for a good start offensively, yeah, and they didn't get it. Right. And that would have made me feel a lot better if
you
they
wanted to execute.
If they
these
didn't
division
fail.
Games, they're close. That's what Pete Shepard told me.
The score wouldn't have mattered to me. But I really – and I said this on the pregame social. I really thought – that you'd see maybe like two touchdowns in the first three possessions.
Crisp.
You know, just a really good start offensively. Instead, they got really good field position and went, they turned the ball over on downs. Then they got the ball back again and had a punt. And then only the Gregory interception that set them up on the doorstep led to the first touchdown. And then they've got a couple of good drives after that, which was good to see. But I was looking, you know,
yeah,
listen,
am
I nitpicking? Absolutely. John Rook would love that. John Rook, I'm the poster child for John Rook. Nitpick Tuesday,
yeah, but it's
on a Wednesday.
Well, it's funny, on the blog, once they started getting rolling, people on the blog said, oh, I hope they run it up. I don't think they could.
Let's put it this way. I certainly don't think they took the foot off the gas in that game.
Right.
I think that,
now,
you know.
Some credit has to go to Miami. I know we were making fun of them, but they have a decent defense.
And I don't make fun of them for not having a lot of intensity in that game. I mean, that's.
Surprised they had any intensity.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the thing that was funny, and we were all joking about it, the four of us, how many Miami guys went down? It was like anybody that felt like the slightest twist or turn, I'm out. Right. I'm out, Brick.
Right.
You know, they had to have five, six, seven players leave the game.
I also thought part of the plan on the day seemed to be use a lot of personnel offensively. They used all the running backs. They used all the receivers.
Yeah.
Tight ends. They were kind of rotating people
and
through.
And he even mentioned that, didn't he? After the game, Belichick, he said it was good to get everybody in there.
But he says that a lot. Well, I thought Lloyd was in and then out, and Branch was in for a while. I thought all the running backs. I thought Brandon Bolden got some carries. I thought Shane Vereen.
Yep.
It seemed like we're going to keep everything kind of balanced with all the personnel and
get
anybody banged up.
Yeah. Lloyd, I would say, is a point.
Well,
in that,
Lloyd
in
might
side,
be hurt.
Cause
I think Lloyd pregame looked.
But he played discernibly fewer snaps than he normally does. And it was probably related to the knee. I think Mike had him down for like 31 snaps, and that's a lot less than he usually plays. But the other guy, I mean, you want to get Gronkowski integrated, but you're not going to give him a full load.
Mm-hmm.
So the other tight ends were going to be still part of it. And running back, I think Ridley still had 20 carries.
He was right around.
You know, that's what you're going to do with the running game. And you were able to get, because you were able to have a big lead in the second half, Ridley and Bolden some carries as well. I mean, Vereen and Bolden some carries. So they did get everybody.
We talked about the game. You happy now?
Well, Andy was the one that was clamoring to talk about
the
game.
Well, I just feel like it's the first show we've had since the game. And they had a productive game.
How are we supposed to talk about the game if we don't talk about the game?
We're emailing.
I'm just saying, had it been
a
crap game, we'd be talking about it.
We're emailing.
But because they just
kind
of took care of business,
well, thank goodness,
we'll just skim past it.
David writes in, I've listened to the show for at least 5 to 6 years, and I've always enjoyed it. Keep up the good work.
Until now.
here is a possible future. I have a strong hunch that Brady and Belichick will go out together. If McDaniels went to
Bill
today and said, I want to take a head coach job, I think Bill would just tell him he can have the Patriots job in a few years. He has been bred for the position. What do you guys think, and would you like that to happen? As much as, you know, I wouldn't mind that, that's not going to be Bill Belichick's decision.
That is a common that's a common theory.
But if he stays as the president.
You mean the
Josh, then it will be.
The Josh move, you mean?
Picking his successor.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But
anyone.
I mean, because he comes from that tree, the Parcellian tree. That was him in New York and all that. It blew up, but who's to say he doesn't take over as president of the team? And that is his decision.
That would be great. I mean, I think that Patriots fans should.
Do you think Robert would want him to be president of the team?
Why not?
Well, I think you can make arguments for not. Plenty of fans have wanted to fire him as GM.
No, but in his eyes, him being president of the team means he's just doing everything he did minus the coaching. You know,
not
because
really.
Basically, he is president of the team right now.
No, I know, but
I mean, I know Jonathan is, but
he's the GM.
Bill Belichick, even as president, isn't going to care about all the business stuff. He's still not going to.
No. I know that. I mean, president of football.
Yeah, he is now.
Yeah, I know, but...
Yeah, but I don't want him if he's not coaching. I don't want that.
Really?
How many columns have been written about Bill Belichick, the GM, does
so now
Bill...
We're
facts are that his greatness is on the field.
That's how I feel.
His greatness on the field is indisputable.
I
think his greatness off of it is disputable.
If Bill Belichick wanted to stay on as de facto president, GM,
Without, happy to do it. Without coaching, no thanks.
No, and he chooses who his coaches? Absolutely.
Not asking for you also. I'm also asking for Robert.
I would think Robert would want that.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
I just look
you
at,
are tight with the ownership.
I think there's a lot of guys that Bill Belichick gets an awful lot out of as a coach that I'm not just willing to say those same guys would be the same players with anybody coaching.
They may not be.
I think Bill Belichick is the coach, and that's why they succeed.
I'd be happier to have him still here helping out than not here.
Well, part of it is you know if McDaniels is his guy. You also have to have confidence that McDaniels is the guy.
So now you're basically saying he's still coaching. But he's not really the coach. Like he's, you know, him and McDaniels are like inseparable.
It's still his system.
So that's
still
that,
his.
You could sell me on
he's
that.
He's not the architect. He's the...
Yeah, you could sell me on that.
Right.
But that's.
Do you really want those?
That's that, only if there's a guy like Josh McDaniels there that he's sort of a puppet.
Do you really
want
the potential
distraction? Sort of what Belichick bristled at in the first place in New York.
The potential distraction of that guy if Belichick is still in some role here. Like whenever Parcells went somewhere.
Another good point.
If a coach start, you know, if a team started off badly, is Parcells going to take over?
Right.
Do you really want that sort of, you know, hanging over your team?
And that's what Bill didn't want with the Jets.
Right.
Part
the
of
coach
it was Parcells hanging around.
Part of the reason why I don't like the whole notion of the assistant coaches have to have his permission to leave, you know, his blessing. Because he bristled so much at being under the thumb of Parcells. And it seems like he kind of operates the same way. You know?
Yeah.
No? Am I going too far with that one?
Yeah, but we all do that. I tell my kids not to pick their nose. Occasionally, I pick my nose.
Yeah, that's the same. Moving on.
It's a do as I say, not as I do.
No, but I would welcome that. The question is, would any coach work under those conditions?
But what are you basing it on? What would you like about that? Like, what are the pros?
Because I like the consistency. I like the continuity and consistency of the system that they have in place.
What is the strength of the Patriots organization on the field? The
Tom
team
Brady
on the field.
Everyone knowing, you know. Preparation.
Personnel or coaching?
Both. I think it's
okay.
I think it's
I don't really think the personnel is anything special. I think the coach is special.
I really don't see how you can
especially
say that when you
have to assume that Brady's no longer part of the equation when Belichick leaves.
I think you're underestimating a lot of the players on this team.
Which one?
Should I go down the list?
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady, Rob
he's gone.
No, those
he's
guys.
Gone now.
Brady's
oh,
not
oh
here.
You mean Brady's gone?
I think when Belichick is gone, Brady's gone. Yeah,
I'm still saying.
I don't think this is going to happen imminently. I think they're going to be, you know, maybe
I
I'm
mean,
wrong.
I mean,
I think they're still back next year. I mean, am I wrong in that? I feel like they
I would not be stunned if Belichick were not at any point. I think there is just a day
he's
going to
surprise
say,
us. Yes. We're not going to know.
But see, I'm ready for the surprise. I'm expecting the surprise to come.
But I'm not expecting it. How can you do that? How can you expect a surprise?
Because in the Super Bowl last year, there were all the grumblings in that week that
he was being too nice
about it. Yeah,
yeah, but that was. So
I must have missed that.
But judging by the
when
way,
he was nice.
Yeah, that's not the same thing as saying he's going to go. Like everybody was looking at it and saying, "Wow, he's being really, really outgoing and personable with the media. He's retiring if they win." It was just total speculation. It's not like he was really thinking about retiring.
Well,
we don't know. I know we don't know it, but you can't use that as an example of he almost left last year. We have no idea if he almost left last year.
We don't.
But no, I'm saying it wouldn't surprise me because there's already been that precedent set that.
But by who? By us.
But that's my
no idea.
Point. There was like this vague speculation that if they won, he was going to retire.
Right.
For all he might look at that and say, that's
the
stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Saying I'm here for another decade. You know.
He said he's not going to coach till his 70s, so he only has
nine more years. Yeah, nine, 10 more years.
And when he retires, they're not going to be surprised.
Right.
I agree with Andy and Eric in that when he retires, I don't think we're going to hear like.
Yeah.
3 weeks of stories, this Belichick is going to retire. I don't think you're going to hear
that.
It's going to all of a sudden, we're going to show up at a press conference one day. Maybe, you know, Stacy sends out an email, press conference at Gillette Stadium tomorrow at noon, and that's it.
Then another
unless
it's 1 o'clock.
Why?
Unless there's a period of not being a good team, like Brady's gone.
No, but you know what?
Here,
my point being... I think the first that we're going to hear about him leaving is when he's left.
Yeah.
I think he's going to say, I'm retiring. I don't think there's going to be like Ray Lewis swan song here for the next couple of weeks.
Think about it. Think about all the teams in the NFL lately. Like, let's say the last 5 years. How many teams did their coach step up and say, I'm retiring? Not a lot. Like Bill Walsh did it, right?
Mike Holmgren.
Yeah, but he's back in, you know, and he
wants
Bill
a job. Might be back in.
You know.
Yeah, I don't like.
It doesn't happen a lot where a coach retires. They get fired and then they never get another job sometimes. But Rarely do they just walk away.
Bill Cowher.
Yeah, that's true. He's won. Yeah, but I mean, but he really didn't retire. People still talk about him maybe coming back.
He can't. Fred, forget the word like retire, meaning he's never coming back.
That's what
I'm talking about leaving as a coach on your own volition.
Joe Gibbs.
There's a lot of them.
That's the difference between retiring. I'm done.
I don't care. All right.
I'm walking away from football.
So let me rephrase it. Instead of him hearing about him retiring, we're going to hear about him not being the coach of the Patriots anymore. He's going to tell us.
But that day, I think that will be a retirement because he won't.
Of course it will be.
That's different than these other coaches.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
These other coaches don't walk away from the game.
But you don't think they intended to when they did?
I think they always had in the back of their mind.
So what has Bill Cowher done since he
I was going to say, did Bill Cowher have in the back of mind he's going to be back? And is he going to be back?
I don't know. He might be one.
This is another one of those speculation things. Let's say Bill Belichick wins the Super Bowl this year, and on February 5th, he announces his retirement. You don't think there's going to be immediate speculation as to where he's going to coach in 14, 15, right away, just like Bill Cowher?
But
every year, Bill Cowher's tied to three jobs. He hasn't taken one yet.
There might be, but what I'm saying is I think Belichick's the kind of guy that when he says he's retiring, he's going
to
retire.
All right, so why is Bill Cowher not that kind of guy when he is come back?
He might be. You name one guy. He might be also.
Who else are we talking about?
A lot.
Mike Holmgren hasn't coached yet.
How many coaches have we seen go up to a podium lately and say, I'm retiring? I'm retiring.
What I'm saying is it's a small sample of guys that leave on their own volition. So you could
think it's a reasonably sized sample.
You could call it retirement or whatever you want to call it. I don't care whatever the semantics you're using today to make Andy and I look stupid. I don't understand the difference.
Why are you getting all snippy and snarky?
I don't understand the difference between retiring and not coaching that team anymore on your own volition.
Well, I think there's
a big
difference between someone saying, I'm done with football.
But they all say they're done when they do it. And I think a lot of them believe it.
Right.
But it changes.
And all I'm saying is that I don't think Bill's one of those guys.
Make him different than anybody else is my point.
But you don't know.
You're fixating on a semantic part of this argument, which is par for our course. That's what we always do. But my point being, when he decides he's not going to coach the Patriots anymore, I think that no one's going to know that outside of Robert.
Of course not. But that's all
but everybody else, there's mad speculation as, you know, ramping up. That's where I think it's different.
Sure.
Whether or not he comes back to coach in 2 years, I don't know. I have no idea.
But usually the mad speculation happens when a coach isn't doing well. And it's like, is he going to get fired? Is he going to get fired?
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about, though. We're talking about you have the choice. Bill Cowher was not going to get fired.
Right.
And he had the choice and he walked away.
He's one of those guys.
And, you know,
maybe
I think there are other guys. I think Mike Holmgren wasn't going to get fired.
Holmgren, Walsh, Vermeil, maybe twice. Vermeil? Or at least once.
You could argue three times Vermeil.
Yeah, well, one was kind of wasn't he like going off the deep end or something?
Well, the burnout?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they weren't going to fire him.
Right.
That was his choice.
Yeah, I think there's a decent number of retirements.
I don't know about
It's a small sample of people that get to choose it. Because every year, a third of the league gets fired.
I don't care if he comes back and coaches again or not. That seems to be a big part of Fred's philosophy that makes it different. Maybe that would be different. I don't know.
I don't think Bill knows. He thinks he knows. He thinks I'm done. And then 2 years in, he goes,
absolutely. No.
I'm only 66.
No one knows, including him, how he's going to feel.
Right.
But that's just my guess.
I just feel like when he decides he's leaving, I think
he got fired the second time.
No, the second time as GM, but I'm saying the first time he retired.
Oh, yeah. No, he didn't get fired as coach.
No.
So, I mean, there's a pretty good handful of people that have done it. Because you have to be in that Super Bowl class to do it.
He was old, though.
I
wonder what Belichick would do, if anything,
he wants to write.
For PFW's
column. All right, well, that's going to be
it
for this edition of PFW
Progress.
Just
hung up on somebody.
We'll be back next week, tomorrow, with another show. It's hard. I don't even know what day it is. All day yesterday, it felt like Sunday. All right, so we'll be back tomorrow at noon. Is John?
We'll be back tomorrow.
What are we doing?
No Rook.
No Rook today, so we're going to replay this. Yep. And at 4 o'clock, what?
Kerry Byrne.
Kerry Byrne with Cole Hart Football Facts. I know he's got a lot of good stuff going into the playoffs, Football Facts. So at
cold hard ones.
Right. And they're really cold and they're really hard.
All right. Like a pole that you'd lick.
See, he has to go there. All right, we'll be back tomorrow.
I didn't go there. Somebody went there.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.